ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൌരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേത ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാനന്ദ സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധരമവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി ശ്രീഹൃദോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയിത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തമമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസേതോന്വയാതിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയേൽ സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തപുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ബലം ശുഖമുഖാമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസിയാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താവത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്തം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കൊണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ ഉവാചി വിജൃംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവി നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ ശ്രീനാം പാദരേണോഭീഷ്ണശായാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനുദേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരുവിരാജിത ശംഖചക്രം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻവേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. നൃദേഹമാദ്യം സുലഭം സുദുർലഭം പ്ലവം സുകൽപ്പം ഗുരുകർണധാരം മയാനുകൂലേന നപസ്വദേരിതം ഉമാൻ ഭവാബ്ദിം ന തരേർ സ ആത്മഹ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ ദാൻ ദിസ് ഹ്യൂമൻ ബോഡി ഈസ് സോ പ്രഷ്യസ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി സോഴ്സ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ്നെസ്. പുരുഷാർത്ഥം ധർമ്മമാർത്ഥം കാമം മോക്ഷം ദിസ് ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ ഓൺലി ത്രൂ ദ ഹ്യൂമൻ ബോഡി. ആൻഡ് ആസ് ഫാർ ആസ് സെൻസ് ഗ്രാറ്റിഫിക്കേഷൻ ഈസ് കൺസേൺഡ് it is possible in other species as well. And Krishna says that even to receive, get this human body, one has to go through so many different species before it comes to this human body. So, but he says that this has happened now, human body you have, and it is capable of taking you across the cycle of birth and death, ocean of birth and death, right? So human body is capable of doing that, Krishna says, and he gave a few explanations there, saying that plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam nirdehamadhyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam. This boat, Krishna considers this body as a boat to get over this cycle. And Guru Karnadharam, the spiritual master, is the captain of the ship. And this boat we have received out of Krishna's mercy, a human body. And apart from that, he says, Sadguru, or the spiritual master, he has taken over the position of the captain, and out of his causeless mercy, he is doing that help to the jiva. Spiritual master's mercy is there, and the captain is there, but still, apart from that, mayani kuvilena napasvadeeritam, Krishna says, one who comes to spiritual life, I am favorable to him in that process. The wind is blowing favorably for the boat to travel. That wind is Krishna's mercy. Mayanukulena napasvadeeritam. In this way, all facilities are given, and instead of utilizing this opportunity for self-realization, one who run after sense gratification, Krishna says, Almaha, he is a killer of the soul. He is a very sinful person, Krishna says, because this is an opportunity given to him to escape from this cycle. After Krishna has spoken about the nature of material existence, and he says it is very sinful if you do that, because suicide is considered to be highly sinful thing to do, committing suicide. Yeah. And after giving this human body, Krishna says, instead of utilizing for self-realization, because it is such a rare thing, he says, and when he got it, instead of utilizing that, he has abused that body for sense enjoyment. even though there is a boat available, you need a captain to take the boat into the other side. And one who knows how to maneuver the boat, and only then you can reach the goal. So Krishna says that, and you have got a suitable person for that. Krishna has come as Dakshinamurti. He is that form. And Krishna himself is Jagat Guru. So Krishna is Jagat Guru, Krishna is Dakshinamurti, is available for to cross the ocean. He is the captain. They are the captain of the ship, right? apart from that, human body, when we get, we have brought with us all the samskaram from previous births, from different vasanas and samskarams, right? And that is the poison inside us. And this poison, which is in the form of vasanas and samskarams, has to be taken out from us, and the nectar has to come of the soul's presence inside. What prevents us from realizing the self is this avidya inside, in the form of samskaram, in the form of vasana inside. So the Shramurti form, that's what Shiva has done while churning the ocean of milk. The Kalakuta poison has come and Dakshinamurti consumed that. It's not. What that actually indicating is that Shiva took that poison is an indication that the poison, when we churn inside us, our vasana and samskaram comes out as the poison first. That is the poison inside us. And that's being consumed by the representation of Dakshinamurti, Guru. What do we have to do? As it says in the Upanishad, Yasya Devi Parabhaktir Yadha Devi Tadha Guru Tasseva Kadehyartha Prakashande Mahatmana. So, when this wind is blowing, favorable wind is blowing, when Krishna's mercy is flowing to us, and Bhagavata Dharmam, performance of Bhagavata Dharmam is important, right? And this opposing culture inside us, Vishaya Vasana, what is present inside us, and that has to be purified and give us the realization of the self and able to take us out of this material existence. And so Ishvara Upasana or Guru Upasana, and somehow or the other, one should try to save oneself from this situation. And Upasana to Jagadguru or Upasana to Dakshinamurti, either way, they all help us to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And Krishna is saying here that Mayanukulena Nabhaswadeeritam. When till we realize this, that everything is mithya, false, and Krishna alone is the reality, and that is our actual Swarupam inside. Our actual Swarupam is Krishna Swarupam, Bhagavad Swarupam, who is present inside everybody as Antaryami. And that Antaryami is capable of giving us the knowledge what is required to get over this birth, process of birth and death. So, with His mercy, He will help us to remove those vasanas inside and able to elevate us to the process of self-realization. And with His mercy, and if we develop these three things, bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam, then if that happens, then the Antaryami will shine Himself as our very self inside us. So, and that Vishaya Asakti, which is attachment to sense enjoyment, will become free from that. So, sadhana has to be performed, and bhakti is bhakti sadhana, what is spoken, right? And when it expands, it gets us into the stage of self-realization. So, in order to, one receives the opportunity for a Sadguru, a spiritual master, by Dakshinamurti's mercy. Dakshinamurti is considered to be the Jnanamargam begins from him. And till then, all you can do is to execute the process of Bhagavad Dharma, of Shravanam and Kirtanam. And once he gets an opportunity for a guru, to receive a guru, like Dakshinamurti's mercy, then he will guide from that point onwards. What he has to do is that the Sadguru or the Dakshinamurti's manifestations, what he is saying to us is that Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma, is one who is present inside us as Antaryami, and that is our actual identity. So that knowledge, even though spoken, to become firmly grounded inside, it requires the mercy of Guru and mercy of Krishna, right? So when one is convinced on that, bhakti will develop in the heart, and that will excite the desire to realize Krishna inside. So bhakti sadhana and through bhakti sadhana, this swasvarupam or self realization of the self, one has to acquire. And that desire for self realization, that won't happen easily. Krishna mentions this also in the Bhagavad Gita. And but once we follow the process, what the Guru has given, and the sadhana process, gradually he will come to that self-realized state. But at that moment, when the bhakti becomes very strong inside, mind will become dissolved in the Antaryami. The mind will disappear in Antaryami, right? In this way, Sachidananda Paramatma realization happens. This the dissolving of the mind in the Antaryami, that is what is done through the sadhana. So, Krishna points out here, through self-realization, one person can become perfect, and for that this human body is the best. Nrudehamadhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam. Then this body, which is rare, somehow the other one got it by Krishna's mercy, and instead of using it for self-realization, if it is used for sense gratification, and that is, Krishna says, is a suicide. He says, Atmaha. He is a killer of the soul. That's the way Krishna puts it. Right? So, those who are doing sadhana, everybody may not realize the self in this life. Right? Before we get to that subtle state of self-realization, it is quite possible that our lifespan is over and we will die before the self-realization happens, right? But what Krishna is saying is that if you have sincerely tried in this life for self-realization, and even if you have not reached perfection in this life, At least you have not abused the opportunity Krishna has given for self-realization. And you can leave the body with that satisfaction that I didn't abuse my life for sense enjoyment. That's one thing Krishna is making it there. That you may not reach perfection in life, in this life. Yeah, that means you have to become completely in the sushma talab. Now we are in a gross level, stulam it is. But to come to that sushma talam, it takes many lifetimes to, because our vasanas, our avidya inside could be so strong to remove all that. Through sadhana, it may take time. But Krishna's point is that you may die before perfection happens, but if you have genuinely or sincerely engaged in sadhana for self-realization, and even though you may have not have reached perfection, at least the opportunity you were given were not wasted. It has been used properly for self-realization, and that is our dharma, from the duty of a devotee. Yeah. And whether you will win it or you win in that process or not is unknown. Is unknown to anybody's case, whether they will make it or not. Right? That is in Krishna's hands. So, whether we win or lose it, the opportunity Krishna has given has been used properly. That is the most important thing, and that itself is a good fortune, if one is able to do that. So, even though you may not reach the goal, that Bhagavata Dharmam will not be wasted. And that is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahi Kalyanakrit kaschit durgadiyam tada gachadi. That's the guarantee Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi kalyanakrit kaschit durgadiyam tada gachadi. He says to Arjuna. Then, so, what means is that, because we perform the sadhana, that samskaram what you have created, that samskaram is more important. You may win, you may succeed or not, that is a different issue. But if you have developed that samskaram inside, spiritual culture, that's the most important thing. That samskaram will carry on to the next life. And that will be a next birth. If you have to come back, it will be, that whole samskaram will be present in the next birth. Will come in the next birth, right? And that samskaram, what we have acquired now, will encourage us to come to spiritual life again in the next life. That is the benefit. Because this is not one lifetime affair, self-realization. If this spiritual culture continues with us, next life also, it is more certain that you will get a human birth. But this samskaram, what you have acquired from this life, will encourage us to engage in sadhana process in the next life. If we have cultured it here, this vasana will go with us to the next life, and in the next life we will start much early spiritual life. It won't be at the after retirement, it will be before that. That what happens to most of the people now is they are getting very late in life. And it is too late. Like Prahlada said, isn't it? Kaumara ajaret prajnaha. Kaumaram, it didn't happen. Yavanam also didn't happen. Vardakyam, it starts. And Vardakyam is too late. So, what Krishna is saying is that Kaumaram, it is expected. But if you follow this spiritual culture now, this will go with us to the next life, and in the next life, in Kaumaram itself, it will come out in people, right? So, it will strongly push inside. That spiritual culture will strongly push from inside. And due to prarabdham, in this life itself, you may get sick, and you will become very weak, not able to do anything, and you may leave the body. Even if that happens, it's not a loss, Krishna says, right? never again you will go back into materialistic life again. That will stop if we develop spiritual culture now. So that samskaram, spiritual culture, what we create in this life, will not allow us to go back to go into the materialistic way of life again. And in that way, the sadhana process will continue in the next life, and one day we will reach the goal. It may not happen in this lifetime. That is, Krishna has spoken that many times. It may not happen in this time. It is wrong to expect, with the way things are, that it is going to happen in one lifetime, right? But it is not a loss, Krishna says, right? What will happen is, it will strengthen our spirituality in us, right? And at every birth, that that spirituality will keep expanding in a person with every birth, right? Ultimately, Krishna says that it will become self-realization. At some point, it will become self-realization. So, but instead of that, if you use this body only for sense gratification, and then Krishna says it is almaha, suicide. It is suicide, right? So, one opportunity Krishna has given us. And if we abuse that, Krishna says it is a disaster then. Look at the next verse. Yadarambhesho. So, the thing Krishna is saying is that through vairagyam, the nishkama karmam Krishna has spoken before, which is a stepping stone to jnanam or bhakti. Karmam is a stepping stone to jnanam or bhakti, right? And one who has developed a sufficient vairagyam, he is qualified for jnana yogam. And from now onwards, in 9 verses, Krishna is saying that what one should follow for that, look at this way. Yadarambheshu nurvino virakta samyadendriyaha abhyasena atmano yogi dharayet achalam manaha. When one gets fed up with karma, and when one gets least interested in the results of the karma, that yogi, he should be able to control his senses and he should perform dharana with his mind. So, there are some important things here Krishna is mentioning. One should not try to control the mind forcefully. That's not a good thing. To control the mind, forcefully try to stop it, right? Instead, Krishna's suggestion is, dharyamanam mano yarhi brahmyadashan avasthidam atandrido anurodhena margena almavasham nayet. Mind has got this problem that it will keep going here, there, everywhere. That is the biggest problem, isn't it? The mind, we are not able to focus on anything. Our mind has gone too far into the world. Somehow or the other, that's what has happened in life. So absorbed in the world, so absorbed in all the activities. Because it is like that, therefore Krishna's answer for that is that allow the mind to go. How far? Earlier Krishna said that for vairagyam purposes, karma yogam he spoke, and through that karma yogam, jnanam, bhakti, he becoming qualified for that. And if he has developed sufficient vairagyam, he is qualified for jnanamargam. When you are engaged in that jnana sadhana, what one has to do, that's what Krishna is pointing out here. He is convinced that karmam, first of all, we have to get convinced that karmam is not going to solve the problem. That itself is a big barrier first. Because everyone is used to doing karmam. and feeling happiness from karma and the karma phalam, the results of the karma. That's how human body is. The nature is like that. To engaging in karma and to reap the results of the karma. So one has to get convinced first that this karma and the results of the karma is not going to save me. I am going to get more entangled. What Kunti Devi said? Avidya kama karma. Yeah. Avidya is the one that is forcing us to do karma. That's the first thing. Avidya creates karma, karma creates karma. So this basic principle that from avidya comes karma and from karma comes karma. And that is what is driving everybody in this world to do engage in karma, so much karma. So having realized that karma and karma phalam is ultimately going to bind me to this world through vasanas. It will bind me here. And I will never be able to escape from here as long as I am engaged in karma. And after that conviction, he develops vairagyam. When he comes to that, he withdraws from the world. That's how vairagyam comes to him. And and then they have to control the mind. After that, the control of the mind comes. And able to focus the mind on the soul and to get it established there. So, he should try hard for that, the mind to focus on the Antaryami inside. And at that time, before he comes into Jnanamargam or Jnanasadhana, this mind has to give way to all the other vasanas inside. He can try that, but due to, even though he may have acquired sufficient vairagyam from karmam and karma phalam, due to several lifetimes what he has engaged in karmam and sense gratification, due to that, that vasanas will still be there in his mind. Even though in this life you have succeeded to understand or to realize that karmam and karma bhalam is going to bind me further, and you have come to that firm conclusion yourself in that way, but in previous lifetimes what you have created, vasanas, those vasanas can still come and agitate the mind. This is the way mind is. In mind, there is all these vasanas can keep flowing from the chittam. So even if you have in this lifetime succeeded in withdrawing from karma and karma phalam, if you have taken out of that, the previous lifetime's vasanas, which is in the chittam, will sometimes come to your mind. You have not managed to get rid of that. You have not managed to get rid of that. What you have succeeded now is, you are able to realize that this karma and karma phalam is binding me, is going to bind me further. And that probably you have managed to convince yourself, and you have managed to withdraw yourself from the field of karma and karma phalam. But the previous lifetimes, in several lifetimes, whatever vasanas we have created, that could still be there inside in the chitta. And that vasanas will now and then will come down to the mind, and the mind will go after that again. It will go into the world, right? It will take that vasanas forcefully will drag us into the world outside again. So even though you have become renounced, after realizing that the sense objects are distressing, it is distressful and it is going to create problems, you are convinced on that, and you have succeeded in withdrawing from the karma and all sense gratification. Even though you have reached that stage, vasanas from previous life, what you have created, right? And even though you don't want to enjoy them anymore, they will come back again and start disturbing the mind. It will come in the mind, right? And that way, it will drag the mind away from the soul. It won't allow this mind to go back to the soul, right? And forcefully, it will take you away. And that is the big threat at that moment, right? So, at that moment, Krishna is saying, you should not try forcefully, when the vasanas are coming out like that, to push the mind towards the soul. It will not work. Krishna is saying that, right? And if you try forcefully the mind for self-realization, it will probably do you more harm than good if you do it forcefully. Krishna understands the mind, how it works. So at that moment, if you try to forcefully do it, then the vasanas from previous life will become more powerful and it will drag your mind into sense gratification in a much more powerful way, right? So you have to appreciate, you have to recognize the nature of the mind, that this is the nature of the mind, and therefore slowly you have to tame the mind, how to come closer to the soul. And that is this verse, 19th verse. Dharyamanam manoyarhi brahmyadashan ashan avastidam adandrido anirodhena margen alpamasham nayet. Things are not that simple as we think. We are used to executing projects in this world, material projects, right? We think that if we do like this, the results will be like this. That's not how in spiritual life it is. Spiritual life, there are so many subtle things operating inside us. Our vasanas inside particularly, the samskaram what we have brought with us, that's a major factor in our spiritual life. The vasanas what we have brought with us from previous life. Right? So when you try to do that, due to the powerful force, vasanas will become stronger at that time, and again the mind will start running after the sense gratification, right? And at that moment, Krishna is saying here, anirodhena, atandrido anirodhena, anirodha margam. What that means is, what anirodha margam means, that allow the mind to have certain sense gratification, which is in a very limited way, allow that to enjoy that, and at the same time, you should be saying to your own mind, the after effect of sense gratification, that it is going to bring distress later. With that understanding, you can enjoy in sense gratification. You see, that you have to speak to yourself, your own conscience, that any sense gratification will only create more trouble. With that dosha buddhi, one is allowed to enjoy senses in a limited way, what is allowed in the Shastra. And so constantly one has to convince oneself, one's own mind, that this Vishayasakti, sense gratification, is not a good thing for self-realization. It won't help. Knowing that, and knowing the nature of the mind is, one should continuously control the mind in this way gradually. Controlling the mind, allowing the mind to enjoy to some extent, which is allowed in the Shastram, in a very limited way, but with the full conscience that it's going to destroy me, with that awareness, one is allowed that. And one should not forcefully stop the mind from sense gratification, right? If you do that, it will go much more powerful way. It will jump from a control, right? So, till the mind gets a taste of the soul, till the mind starts experiencing that it is getting some happiness from the soul, anandam, alpanandam, or bhajanandam, till it gets that, this will happen, till that point. Once it starts getting some happiness from self-realization or from spiritual life, then this running after sense objects will not stop. Right? So, till then, this is the only way, Krishna says, that allow the mind to enjoy to some extent in a limited way, but fully recognizing that, with full awareness that it is going to destroy me, sense gratification, and allow the mind to continue. If you do it that way, Krishna is saying, gradually the mind will develop control, come under your control. That is the nature of the mind. Forcefully, if you start, you heard something and you start to forcefully stop the mind will not be able to handle it. Mind will come in a much more powerful way from inside to run after sense enjoyment. But this is the process Krishna has spoken, right? So, and when you allow the mind to enjoy senses, only what is allowed in the Shastram, not against the Shastram, right? Anishiddha Vishayam. Anishiddha means that is not forbidden, right? And forbidden things one should not involve in that. Even though mind may try to persuade us to fall into that. So forbidden ones one should not engage in that. But what is allowed, that he is allowed to enjoy, and with the body and the senses, and when he is doing that, mind will get some satisfaction from that, and with that little satisfaction, mind will be somewhat able to calm down the mind. You'll be able to calm down the mind, right? Just like senses. After some sense gratification, it gets satisfied. Is it not? Like if it is food, for example. If you have some nice tasty dishes, if you have eaten that, then you get some satisfaction inside. Then you don't want to eat anymore. So in the same way, the mind also. So mind feels satisfied and its attraction for sense enjoyment goes away and mind becomes a little bit peaceful. And at that time also, you have to tell your own mind that sense gratification is not good. You have to say that to the mind and then engage in sense gratification. So, every sense gratification, the nature is little happiness and a lot of distress at the end. And that is the nature of sense enjoyment, right? So, this has to be understood, proper analysis. You have to think also about all these things while engaging in all these things, right? And gradually bring the mind out of that and try to get the mind more attracted towards self-realization. Next word. If you allow that, will he not go back again into that? Krishna's answer. Manogadim na visrajet jida prano jidendriyaha sattva sambannaya buddhya manam alpavasham nayet. This alpavasham nayet, in the last verse also Krishna said that. In the 19th verse. Margena alpavasham nayet. You are not forcefully doing that. Gradually you are dragging the mind towards the soul. Alpavasham nayet. That is important. Here Krishna is saying, mana alpavasham nayet. Bring the mind towards the soul, towards Antaryami. Right? So, if you do like that, again the mind will look for sense enjoyment. Because we have vasanas inside from previous lives. That will drag the mind towards the other way. Right? So, so yogi, he says, never again give the opportunity for the mind to taste any sense gratification as much as possible. Any kind of sense gratification. Right? Because senses, pranam, you have to win over them and you have withdrawn from the sense objects. And yogi, of course, he does pranayamam and everything. One over the pranam, pranayamam. And even if you have got the control over the pranam, and with the control of pranam you manage to control the senses also. In this way, through satya buddhi, Krishna says, sattva sambhanaya buddhya, through satya buddhi, he controls the mind and somehow bring the mind towards the soul. This is a big exercise for the one who is doing sadhana.
These are all the subtle side of sadhana. Gross side of sadhana, sadhana is not the important one. We all mistaken these things. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, your decision is more important. Yeah, how far? When Krishna says that, maya asakta manapartha, that asakti in Krishna is more important than your sadhana. Sadhana is not doing everything. The result, he is saying here. Right? So, when mind has been told not to engage in any sense gratification, and when you have to control the mind, is it not likely that when you control that, this asakti, vishayasakti, desire for sense enjoyment, will it not increase then? This is the question, right? So, Krishna said that you can allow the mind to engage in sense enjoyment in a limited way, which are not forbidden, that kind of sense enjoyment, right? In a limited way, even though Krishna has said like that, you should not allow the mind freely to go after sense gratification. What Krishna is saying there is that in a very limited way, the permitted sense enjoyment, if you allow the mind to do it in a limited way, and saying to yourself that this sense enjoyment is going to destroy me later, with full awareness you are doing it. If you do like that, Krishna says, your mind will become disgusted with sense enjoyment and slowly turn inwards. Right? So, only in a limited way you are allowed to do that, and control of the senses, pranam, and you should try very hard to increase the sattugunam and through that establish the mind in the self. That's what he says there. So, manogadimna visrajya jida prano jidendriya sattva sambannaya buddhya mana almavasham nayad. That's the most important thing. Earlier also he said, margena almavasham nayad. So, dragging the mind towards the soul all the time, instead of allowing for sense gratification. Yeah? And this process, Krishna is giving here with an example, how it is being done. That's the next verse. Eshavai paramo yogo manasa samgraha smradaha hridayajnyatum anvichan demya seva arvado muhu. This mano nirodham in this way is the highest yogam, Krishna says, because when they this yoga process, withdrawing the mind from the senses and joining the mind towards the soul. This is yoga, mano nirodham. Dashamaskandam is all about that. Right? So, in this way, able to control the mind, that is the success of adhyatma yoga, spiritual process, right? Here Krishna is saying that eshavai paramo yogo manasa sangraha smrada. Officially he is saying like this, that yoga siddhi, able to separate the mind from the sense objects and without allowing the mind to flow towards sense objects, that is called mano nigraham, right? Or yogam, you can call it. So, mano nigraham, what you are actually doing is, you are allowing the mind in a very limited way, allowing the mind to enjoy permitted sense gratification in a limited way. That's what you are doing there in mano nigraham, right? That's what's called mano nigraham. This is a process to influence the mind. One process to influence the mind. In that particular area of sense gratification, you are satisfied. And at the same time, you understand the nature of that sense gratification, that it is going to bring distress. When you are conscious of that all the time, you are allowing the mind to go inwards, and not encourage the mind to go towards sense enjoyment, right? So basically what we are doing then is, instead of letting the mind to go fully after sense gratification, you are putting some restriction on the mind, giving some taste, but at the same time telling the mind, look, you are going to drag me into problems. You are going to end up in suffering later. So with that warning, you are doing that. Because of that, the mind will slowly withdraw from that. Yeah. So the example Krishna gives here is that when they train the horses, if he is very expert, the rider, one who is training the horses, right? And what he does is, sometimes the horse wants to do its own things. So the person who is training the horses, he will allow the horse to jump as much as it wants. He will allow the horse to jump and do a few things what horse likes to do, because the horse nature is like that. Yeah. And when the horse does that, he will still hold the rein in his hand. He won't go allow the horse to go free what he likes to do. Allow a little bit to jump and to run this way, that way, but he will not allow the horse to completely lose the control. He will hold the rein still in his hand, right? And when he does that, the horse likes the person who is controlling, when he gives that license for the horse to enjoy a little bit on its own. It gives a little freedom to the horse, and when the horse enjoys that freedom, the horse satisfied with the rider or who is the trainer, and then the horse is willing to listen to the trainer more after it had a little sense gratification. It had a little freedom, right? But when he allows the horse to enjoy, he still controls the horse through the rein. He won't go allow the horse to go out of control completely. Within reason, he will allow the horse to jump and to play, but not more than that, right? So he will not throw the rein away. He will hold the reins in the hand, right? But he will release the rein to some extent so that the horse can jump or play a little bit, right? In this way, he allows the horse to play, and the horse starts getting attached to the trainer. He likes the trainer. This is how they train the horses in the stables, right? And when once the horse got attached to the trainer, then the horse will listen to you. Then you can control the horse better. So this is the psychology of the horses, right? And so allowing the horses in a limited way to play in its own way, the trainer is trying to get the attachment of the horse towards him. And so in the same way, Krishna says, you allow, like a horse, you allow your mind to enjoy a little bit, but keep the mind under control, by saying to the mind that it is all going to bring problems later for self-realization, right? He will not give complete freedom to the mind, like he will not give complete freedom to the horse in the same way, right? In a limited way, permitted sense enjoyment, in a limited way, convincing the mind all the time that this is all bad for self-realization. In that way, if you allow the mind to work, then that way, first-class person who is doing sadhana, he should control his mind in this way. Krishna is saying that. That's what that verse is. Eshavai paramo yogaha yogo manasaha sangraha smridaha kudayatnyatum anyvichan damyasevarvado muhu. And after he has got that, he's saying that the this is called vigridi. Vigridi means this play, playful nature. Like children, when they play, that's called vigridi, isn't it? In the same way. Vigridi means just want to play on its own. Don't want anybody to control that nature. So, so little bit of that vigridi, one has to allow the horses to have. Right? This is how A first-class sadhaka controls his mind. Uttama sadhaka. One who is doing sadhana at the highest level, he controls his mind in this way. Little bit of sense gratification you allow the mind, and at the same time convince the mind the disaster of sense gratification, and changes its attraction for by telling the mind that it is going to bring problems later, and engage the mind in the self, more into the self, to upasana. Sankhena sarva bhavanam. After you have got a little bit of control, then to get full control, what you have to do? That's the next verse, 22nd. Sankhena sarva bhavanam pradilomam anulomataha bhavapeyam anudhyayin mano yavat prasidati. Krishna says that while this is going on, you also have to do something else. What's that? Abhyasam. Abhyasam means continuous analysis of Shastram inside. What we are learning from the Shastram. This should be scrutinized inside. Right? Tattvajnanam, Tattvavicharam. And the whole thing Krishna has spoken about, till the mind becomes completely at peace, in peace, right? That process is what he is saying here. For example, withdrawing the mind from sense objects and dissolving the mind in the Antaryami is yoga. And for that, you have given a few things allowed the mind to enjoy, and when the mind is pleased with you, then you should try to control the mind then. That's the time you should control the mind. Like the horse. When the horse is happy, then you can control the horse better. In the same way, with the mind as well. So initially, you allow the mind to go a little bit this way, that way. Mind nature is like that, isn't it? Sangalpam, vigalpam. Sangalpam, vigalpam. Chittavritti, that is what his mind means. Mind means chittavritti. Chittavrittis will come one after the other. Little go like that in the beginning. That's what they say. Even when you are chanting, lot of thoughts will come. Let it go. Let it carry on like that. Then, what mentions in the Sankhya Shastra, that's what Krishna is saying here. Then, for example, from Paramatma Chaitanyam, through Maya, how this creation happens. And from Maya it started, it ended up in this body, gross body. This is the end result of that Maya. Maya started from the beginning, and then it kept transforming, transforming and transforming, and finally ended up in this body, right? So, one should analyze all these things inside himself. How Maya transformed in this way and ended up in this body. That's how creation happened, is it not? How we have ended up with a body like this. One should think about themselves, right? So you have to look back the reverse way, right? This body, when we die, what happens? It goes into the earth. The earth portion, the Panchabhutam will go to Panchabhutam. Earth will go to earth, fire will go to fire, water will go to water, and space will go to space, air will go to air. And that's how this material body finishes at the end, right? So that process, you should think about it. How that happens. Panchabhutam has made this body, how this goes back into Panchabhutam at the end, right? Every time Karyam goes back to Karanam, our Panchabhutam has come from the Tanmatra, Shabdasparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham, sound, touch, smell, taste and form. It is from that the five material elements came. From material elements came this gross body. Now the reverse process, going back again. And in this way, Karyam goes back to Karanam, and then it goes back into Satya Ahangaram, Rajasa Ahangaram, Tamasa Ahangaram, goes to Ahangaram, Ahangaram to Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam to Pradhanam, Pradhanam to Maya. That way it goes back, right? And finally, Sachidananda Paramatma. We come to that situation, right? So, if this is analyzed every day within oneself, if you accept this process, what Bhagavatam has spoken, right, you come to understand that only Sachidananda Brahman existed prior to everything, Paramatma Chaitanyam, right? Then Maya came, and from Maya this creation happened. And when devastation happens, the whole thing disappears. Goes back to Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma. So before creation, Sachidananda Paramatma existed, and in the middle it manifests like this in the form of creation, and at the end again everything disappears, goes back to Sachidananda Paramatma. Because in the beginning there was Sachidananda Paramatma, end also Sachidananda Paramatma, in the middle also, in the form of this world, what exists is Sachidananda Brahma only, right? So what was existing before and what is existing at the end alone exists in the middle as well. Same Chatushloki Bhagavatam principle, right? So it's this creation, its actual swarupam is Sachidanandam. That conclusion, one should get convinced about that based on the Shastram, right? So Sachidananda Paramatma only exists at the end when Maya disappears. That is at the very end, right? So, so in this Maya in between and in the form of this creation what exists, actually it is Sachidananda Paramatma only, right? And but what prevents us from knowing that and why we take this creation as real is because Maya created this situation like this. It created Namarupam and we got stuck in the Namarupam, names and forms. And we started thinking this Namarupam is separate from Sachidanandam. That is where the problem started. When Maya in between creation and destruction, Maya came and created this. When creation happened, Maya projected this whole creation in front of us in the form of Namarupam. And this Namarupam has created an impression in us. Namarupam is real and we are not able to see Sachidanandam in the creation. That is the avidya what has done to us. Right? So, because of that, what happened to us? We are thinking Namarupam is real and that is this creation. This misunderstanding has come to us. That is Maya's vilasam. Maya vilasam it is, right? And it is in this Maya that Sachidananda Paramatma is reflecting. It is Sachidananda Paramatma is keeping this Maya going, right? So it is because of Sachidananda only Maya is able to transform like this in the form of Namarupam, right? And so while this is happening and Maya is doing all these things, it's able to do that only because Sachidananda is present in the Maya. Otherwise this cannot happen, right? So Namarupam, everything is due to this transformation of Maya. Namarupam has happened from names and forms have all come because of transformation of Maya. Which means they were created, they will stay sometime and they will die. That is Namarupam. Namarupam means they come, they stay for some time and they will disappear. Like all of us, right? So, but in all of them, Sachidananda Paramatma is present. And without having any changes happening in the Sachidananda Paramatma, able to present this world in front of us like this, Maya has got the capacity to do that. We, Namarupam, Maya has bewildered us by presenting this Namarupam in such a way that we are not able to see the presence of Sachidananda Paramatma present in the creation. That is Maya success. That is what we call Maya means. Maya means that it is not allowing us to see Krishna's presence in the world. Krishna is present everywhere, in everything, is it not? That is the understanding of Krishna. Principle of Krishna is like that. Krishna says, there is nowhere I don't exist. Everywhere I exist. But we are not seeing that. We only see Namarupam. And this success of Maya in bewildering us like this, that Krishna is not present anywhere. Everywhere it's only Namarupam. Namarupam is real. Krishna is not real for us. That situation. Yeah. So, and when this happens, we don't see the Paramatma Chaitanyam present in the creation, right? So, this particular understanding, you just have to accept it in the beginning. There is no other way to prove it. Because we are inside this Maya, and we are dictated by, we are controlled by Maya. And in this situation, we are saying that we want to know the truth. How is that possible? She is controlling us. Maya is keeping us in her grip completely. And he is controlling us every moment in all our life here with this body, mind, senses, everything. And then we are saying that we want to know the truth. What truth can you know? Because it's not possible. She has kept complete control of us, right? So therefore, we are only seeing Namarupam. This is the proof of that. What Shastram, you have to accept it. There is no other way. Shastram is saying to us, Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidananda Paramatma, Krishna alone is the reality. And he is this whole creation is Krishna, not different from him. He is present in everything, including from Paramanu to right up to the Mahatattvam. He is present in everything. This whole thing has come from him, through Maya. Only he has come through Maya, that's all. But when Maya comes in, he takes away that awareness inside and makes us believe that what Maya has produced is reality and not what the Shastram says. And that's where we are now. We are trapped in that situation. We are not, even you are hearing Shastram for hundreds of years, still the message is not going in. Why? Because Maya has convinced us this way. And this is why Krishna is saying, Devi Kesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durateya. It's not easy to get over Maya. Maya is not something what we think is Maya. We think something is, if you take a little bit, if you sleep a little bit more, they say you are in Maya, they say. As though you are out of Maya all the other time. Maya has such a big grip on us at every level. Yeah. So, this understanding one should build up inside. Actually, what exists is only Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidananda Paramatma. That Sachidananda Paramatma's presence in Maya allowed Maya to do the creation. And in that creation, he created all the Namarupam. And we are all that. We are at the very low end of the creation process. Is it not? So, in this state, with all our body, mind, senses, and avidya inside, and the subtle body, mind, intelligence, everything, we are stuck in that. And in this situation, it is not possible to understand what Shastram is saying. We won't. There is no point in arguing about it. Shastram says so. That's all it is. Rishis are saying, accept it first, and then we can talk further after that. So, in the beginning there was only Sachidananda Brahma. At the end also there is only Sachidananda Brahma. In between all these things happens, right? Therefore, because in the beginning there is only Sachidananda, and the end also there is only Sachidananda, in the middle also it's only Sachidananda. Nothing else exists. That's the principle, right? Namarupam is Maya Vilasam, it is. Yeah? Namarupam is Maya Vilasam. Maya has done this, right? And Sachidanandam is the foundation of all these things. And in that foundation of Sachidanandam, Maya creates this experience of the world. So, and every Namarupam here, name and form, is created, stays for some time, and then disappears, right? And therefore, it is not the truth. Namarupam is not the truth, right? What is the reality then? That vastu, which does not change, which was never created, which remains as it is, and which will always stay, that alone is Sachidananda Paramatma, right? And in this way, our Swarupam also is that Sachidananda Paramatma Swarupam, right? And in between, between creation and destruction, we who are stuck in this Namarupam process, right? We come and go all the time, right? And so, wherever the mind goes, Krishna says here that Sankhena, Krishna is using Sankhya Yogam here, Sankhena Sarvabhavanam Pradilomam Anilomataha Bhavapayam Anudhyayam Mano Yavat Prasidati. Is saying that till the mind becomes subdued like this, with this knowledge, you have to keep saying this to the mind, that this is the truth, right? And then when the mind is convinced, accepted that, then the mind won't cause any problems after that. Yeah. And then Krishna is saying, no matter how hard you try, again Krishna is warning us, this mind has got this tendency to jump away and go after sense enjoyment. He says, no matter how hard you try, Krishna is saying this, right? Because Krishna knows us better than what we know about us, is it not? We only know in this life, and that also we don't know full. Childhood, how much do you remember now? You only remember a few years in this life where we are now. That's all what you know about yourself, so to say. We don't know about the future, what will happen. Even the past is unknown to us now. It's all memory only. Whatever you remember, that's your past now. More than that, you don't know anything about the past. Why it happened, how it happened and all. If you ask, there is no answer to all that. So practically, our own knowledge of our life is very, very limited. Krishna knows, Antaryami knows about us more than what we know about ourselves. Antaryami knows how many bodies you have gone through, what all you have done in different lives, all that vasanas, what is stored in the chitam, everything is known to him. And that is why he is playing with it in the dream state. He comes out and brings out something from the previous life, if it is not from this lifetime. And then you start thinking, why is these things coming in the dream? The answer is, Antaryami knows that. It has done at some particular time, right? So, allowing the mind to come back to that state, and if you train the mind, Krishna says, it's this habit of the mind to run after things will stop. That habit will stop, he says. And and with that realization that everything is Sachidananda Paramatma, and convince the mind that way, because actually there is only Sachidananda Paramatma in the beginning and at the end, and all the sense objects with which you are having sense gratification, right? They were all created one day and they will all be destroyed one day. But the Sachidananda Brahman present in everything, there is no change in that. The vastu gets changed, so objects, right? So, unfortunately, even though Sachidanandam is present in the vastu, vastu means objects, right? We see the vastu, what Maya is showing to us. If anything, when we see, it is Maya what shows to us is what we are seeing. Yeah? What we are seeing is what Maya is showing to us. You know, when the universal form was shown to Arjuna, right? We all think, when you read universal form in the Bhagavad Gita, we all think that this is Krishna's universal form, he says, Visharupam, right? Do we understand that what the Visharupam is? Visharupam, or the universal form, is inside you. According to your vasana, what you see is Visharupam. Krishna sent this to Arjuna. Arjuna, what do you want to see? Krishna says, you will see that in me. Whatever you want to see, you will see in me, Krishna says. What does that mean? It means that according to your vasana is your Vishwarupam, what you are seeing. Yeah? How do you know that? There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at it carefully, you will see there. Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra Sarve Sahayavani Palasange Bhishmo Drona Suda Putra Sadaso Tadasmadhyay Abhi Yodhamukhe. Arjuna says this to Krishna. What did Arjuna say? Arjuna saying, I am seeing Bhishma, Drona, Karna, everybody here. But when he was talking about Karna, he said, Sudaputra, he said. Sudaputra means the charioteer's son. Karna's father was Adhirada. Adhirada was a charioteer, right? So, Arjuna's elder brother is Karna, but they don't get along very well. For various reasons, Kunti Devi made a mistake, invoked the son, and the son was born Karna. And Arjuna was born from Indra. And there is a very difficult relationship between Arjuna and Karna. So normally, Arjuna wouldn't have spoken like that. Sudaputra, telling about his own elder brother. So from that itself, you can notice that Arjuna is mocking Karna there. And he is using that word Sudaputra deliberately in the universal form. I am Amijatvam, if you look at the verse, Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra. I think it is the 25th or so verse, 23rd or 25th verse.
11, 26.
Yeah. Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra Sarve Sahaivavani Pala Sanghai Bhishma Drona Sudaputra Sadaso, he says. Sudaputra, he is saying. He wouldn't have said that normally. But the fact that he said that, what does that indicate? That is his vasana coming out. Arjuna's vasana coming out in the universal form. So everything what we see in this, you see, we see this world with our eyes and we blindly believe this is the reality. This is the problem with us. That you are seeing through your senses and you think that this is the real, this alone can be the real, like the scientists do. Rishis won't accept that. Rishis are saying to us that you are seeing the world based on your vasana. That is why each one of us will see the world differently. According to your vasana, my vasana, I'll see the world in one way. Your vasana, you will see the world in a different way. So, in that Sudaputra, what he said like that, alone is an indication to tell us that Arjuna is seeing the universal form according to his vasana inside. Vasana is projecting that world in front of him. And similarly, every other universal form, what Krishna has shown, is according to their vasana. Mahabali according to his vasana. Yashoda Devi according to her vasana. So vasana is a one. So just to show you the point that vasana is a very powerful force inside us, controlling us every minute. You can't ignore that. If you ignore that, you won't understand why things are happening like this in life. In spiritual life also. Often we are shocked something happens to someone. Yeah. They have taken danda, they have taken saffron and all that. And then they go after a woman and they fell off from that. And one, everybody was telling he was so powerful, such a yogi he was. But then this happened. Why did it happen? Vasana. Vasana inside. Vasana he has not won. Vasana chayam it's called. Vasana chayam is the most difficult part. In this life you know what all you have done, what you have created. To some extent you know. But in previous lifetimes, what we have done, we have no clue about it. Is it not? So that is following, it is inside us, in the form of vasana. So here, that Arjuna's example, you can see from that itself. To call Karna as Sudaputra, but first of all, his elder brother. Even though the mother is the same, father was different. But Arjuna called him as Sudaputra, in that universal form, is an indication that Arjuna has some ill feeling towards Karna. And because Karna was much more expert in archery than Arjuna was. And Arjuna was always having a problem how to fight with Karna. Karna was very difficult to fight with. Because he was a very powerful warrior. Unfortunately, he had ended up in Duryodhana's side. That's all. So the thing is that vasana will decide how you see the world. So your universal form, what you see, is also based on your vasana. That is why Krishna didn't say to Arjuna, I will show you what you want to see, but you can see what you want to see. Why did Krishna say like that? Because Krishna says, you can see whatever you want to see, you can see in this universal form. Means, According to your vasana, you can see everything. Because vasana is what you will ask for. Vasana will tell you what you want to see. And accordingly you can see whatever you want to see. He didn't say to Arjuna, Arjuna, I will show you whatever you want to see. He didn't say that. He said, you can see whatever you want to see in the universal form. And that is how you have to understand the universal form. Universal form, many times we think that Krishna has a very fixed standard universal form in which Karna, Bhishma, Drona and all present. And once you make a picture of that, you are convinced that that's it. The photograph is there. You think like that, is it not? Because yeah, that picture is there with 10 heads in the side of Vishnu, all the 10 heads, sun, moon, everything. So when you show like that, people who are reading first time, they will think that this is Krishna's universal form. Krishna's universal form, you can't see it because it's different for different people. It is the person who is seeing the universal form, he gets to see that form according to his vasana. Krishna is impossible to understand. First of all, it is impossible to understand the Krishna. And therefore, he is saying like that. Yeah. So, so Namarubam is like that. This is why I am saying this. Namarubam is Maya has created. Like this, right? This is not the truth. What Maya has created is not the truth, right? It is Maya Vilasam. And Namarubam is what you are perceiving all the time. Through your senses. It's only your perception. Through your senses, all the time is Namarupam. And this is not real. That is the first thing, right? And real thing will not change. It will stay always the same. Always it should stay the same, right? In this way, using the Sankhya Yogam process, Krishna has spoken that in the 22nd verse. Yeah? 22nd verse, right? And if you follow this process, Krishna is saying here, that ultimately you will realize that this creation is Paramatma Swarupam. Paramatma Swarupam, right? And wherever the mind goes, in whichever way the mind goes, Krishna says, if you keep convincing mind that Paramatma Swarupam is only reality, and if mind accepts that, then it will not start running after sense objects. That's what he is saying here. Sankhena sarva bhavanam pratilomam anilomataha bhavape anudhyayanman mano yavat prasidati. And then say, after saying that, it is difficult, Krishna says, because mind is still carrying the vasanas from previous life. And therefore, it is difficult, but still he is saying, nirvirnasya viraktasya purushasyoktave dinaha manasyajati dauralpyam chindidasya anuchindaya. If you have got disgusted with karma first, yeah, and you got withdrawn from the results of the karma, basically in spiritual life, first requirement is that you don't want anything from this world. You have to come to that stage. I don't want anything from here. Able to say that honestly, that I don't need anything from here. If you come to that stage, means that you have understood something about spiritual life. Otherwise, if you have, Krishna says, only such people have some success in spiritual life. Otherwise, people are called Kama Kami. Krishna says, they are not my devotee, they are the devotee of their desires. That's how he, Krishna puts it. They are not my devotees, he says. Those who have got desires inside, they are the devotee of their desires. Not my devotee, Krishna said. So, nirvinnasya viraktasya purushasyokta vedina manasyajadi dauralpyam chindirasya anuchindayaha. Once you have come to this understanding, karma is all useless. And results of the karma also is useless. If you have come to that understanding, and then understood the message from the Shastram properly, and a person who is doing sadhana in that way, his mind gradually will come under control. And it will give up its identification and with the body, gradually. But all this requires effort. It's not going to happen by simply hearing alone, it may not happen. By sadhana process, And by what Krishna is saying, one should practice this sasana. This sasana, what he said here, right? So, so tattva-jnanam, that's where tattva-jnanam comes. Through that, the how creation happened, how the creation gets destroyed, and what happens in between, appearance and creation and destruction, right? What remains at all this time, unaffected by everything, that Sachidananda Paramatma alone is the truth. This should be known. Then, everything else is Maya Vilasam, Kshaniya Pratibhasam. When one gets convinced on that, then he will get attracted to Sachidananda Paramatma and your mind will eventually become established in the Sachidananda Paramatma. Right? And if you one starts thinking that however hard you try, the mind is not going to give up sense enjoyment. If only somebody is thinking like that, that's wrong. To think that however hard you try, it is not possible to bring the mind away from sense gratification. That's wrong, right? Mainly it is, one has to do the exercise within oneself. That the nature of sense objects is like this. It will give you some happiness, a lot of distress at the end, right? And you have to get yourself disgusted with sense enjoyment, right? And one gradually withdraws from sense enjoyment, right? And he becomes withdrawn from the world. World is not any more attraction for him. What goes on in the world, right? And he is got disgusted with karma and in the results of the karma. Such a person, when he hears this knowledge of self, and in his mind, if he does this tattva-vijaram, atma-tattva-vijaram, right? And in that case, he will become free from the bodily identity. He will become free from the bodily identity, right? So, first thing is to get disgusted with karma. What karma has done to me? Whole life I have done karma. What did happen from that? Except that, it created a lot of karma vasana inside me, right? So, one must realize this. You see, we forget so many things. Karma comes from rajogunam. If you engage in karma more, rajogunam goes up in a person. He becomes more rajasic nature, right? And what it does is, it destroys your shanti inside. And results of karma is momentary, temporary it is, right? So, every karma results what you enjoy here in this world is temporary. It all, and same thing with the results in the heavenly planets also, even if you manage to get there by performing pious activities here. You stay there for some time, but eventually you have to come back. Knowing the temporary nature of the results of karma in this world as well as in the higher planets, one should be able to come out of it. That is what Krishna says. One should properly analyze this. The problem is that we still find it difficult to what Krishna is saying. We are so driven by karma, and karma has, we don't think that it is the karma that has brought us into this situation today, where we are now. Our karma in the previous lives. That's what created karma vasana, and that's how this body was created. Right? We got this body today in this form what we have due to our previous karma. So karma only does is karma. What karma does is it keeps on creating fresh bodies for you for every life. You do a lot of karma here, you create many more bodies for several lifetimes after this. Then all that karma vasana has to get exhausted. For that, the only way to get exhausted is to accept another body. This karma, sanjidam, becomes prarabdham then. And then prarabdham will create another body. And then you jump into that body. And then in that body also, if you do the same thing, more karma, more vasana, more prarabdham, more bodies. One after the other. And you keep on rotating like this in that cycle. There is no way of escaping from that. So to come to this conclusion that karma has created all these things, that itself takes a long time. to become free from that karma. Right? So, this is where this knowledge in the Vedantam is essential at this point. Because without understanding all these things, simply like a wild horse running around in the world, it's not going to solve the problem. You will keep on running it. You'll never come to an end any time. So, Dehabhimanam, what is inside us, this identification with the body, his mind has to be tamed, like the way you talked about the horse. It has to be tamed and pulled out of this field of karma. And then with the understanding of how things were created, what was explained there, and destruction, realizing that Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidananda Paramatma is the only reality. Everything else is Maya. And if he is convinced that way, then Krishna is saying, your mind will be attached to Brahman. You will become established in the Brahman. That's what Krishna is saying there. Sachidananda Paramatma, that is the reality, that conviction has to come inside us. Right? So, this is how this, what Krishna said, this, that Atma Tattvam. Nirvinnasya virattasya purushasyokta vedina manas tyajati dauralmyam chindadasyana chindaya, he is saying. Chindidasyana chindaya. Chinda is necessary. Chinda means one has to think about it again and again and again till the mind agrees with it. That's what everyone has to do it oneself. Till the mind agrees with it. It won't happen otherwise. If my mind is not agreeing, normally we listen to the mind, isn't it? What mind tells us, we go and do that. We are always a servant of the mind. But to convince the mind of something is very difficult. To change our direction. So, he says, the instruction from the Shastram, from the spiritual master, and your withdrawing from the karma, and the results of the karma, and constantly absorbing in this, he should withdraw himself from the control of the mind. Mind should come under your control. He's saying like that, right? So this Atma Tattvam, that is why all these things are important. Atma Tattvam, what Krishna is talking to Uddhava, Atma Tattvam, right? What is Atma Tattvam? What is soul? That itself is a question. All the time people ask this, isn't it? So Sachidananda Paramatma is the reality. Everything else is subject to destruction. It will all be destroyed. My only reality is that Sachidananda Paramatma, Atma Swarupam, he is present inside me as the Andaryami. And if one takes this seriously, and if one practices it regularly, then Krishna says, through Mananam, through Nididhyasanam and all, what will happen is that you will become fed up of karma. Because you started understanding karma properly, and then the results of the karma. And so for such a sadhaka, he says, eventually his mind will become established in the Atma Tattvam. Atma Tattvam. And at that moment, his mind will go towards the soul, and it will dissolve itself in the Andaryami. And it is at that time he will experience the self, right? So, so this is for Jnana Sadhana, Jnana Margam. This one, all this is spoken. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, right? So before this Jnana Sadhana, Krishna is saying that in order to get the mind fixed on this, give the mind a little bit of taste for sense enjoyment. You know, just like when you certain dishes, if you overeat it, you will get sick. So what do they do for the feast? They'll give you just a piece of it. You love it so much, but if it you are not controlled, you will go and eat a lot of it. Like gulab jamun and all that. because it's so sweet and tasty. What they will do, they'll give you half of it or one maximum, not more than that, in the feast, right? So some, otherwise what will happen if you eat loads of gulab jamun, you know what will happen. Whole body boils will appear. In Ishkan, what they did was, devotees had no other sense gratification. The feast was that they were looking forward to, Sunday feast. That feast they will cook. And they'll cook loads of these sweets. And the brahmacharis will eat hell of a lot of that. These gulab jamuns. And in a 2-3 days time, whole body is full of boils everywhere. So much sugar has gone in. So you can see, so knowing that, you give them only one piece. But they are not able, they'll steal the gulab jamun and they will eat. Some, because they couldn't resist that gratification that comes from that. Yeah, craving for that, for the sugar. So, here in the same way Krishna is saying, the mind also, you give them a little bit, like you serve gulab jamun, just one piece or one maximum. Similarly, you give something like that, you bribe the mind with a little bit of things. But you have to keep the control of the mind. You should not allow the mind to go all the way out, right? So, that is what Krishna said. Before you start Sharanam, Anana, Nididhyasanam, bring this mind under control like this. And then, through Sharanam, Anana, Nididhyasanam, you establish the mind in the Andaryami, Atmatattvam, right? So, so all this is done with the help of the Guru, spiritual master, right? And Atmatattvam, one has to hear a lot, one has to reflect on this a lot. Along with that, he has to keep controlling the mind as well. If it all done together, then he will realize that Sachidananda Paramatma is only reality, and it is present in him as a very self, and this is the Sankhyam. That's what he said there. Sankhyena Sarvabhavana. Sankhya process, right? So, and when the disciple is convinced on these things, right, the Sankhya process, right, he realizes that actually there is only Sachidananda Brahman here, and when he joins with Maya, Paramatma Chaitanyam joins with Maya, then Maya turns itself in the form of this creation, right? But Maya is able to do all these things because Sachidananda Paramatma is behind it, is present in the Maya, right? And then it has turned out like this, right? And when it transforms like that, in everything that comes through Maya, Sachidananda Paramatma is present in that. So ultimately, Sachidananda Paramatma is the cause of everything. Maya is not the cause. Maya is projecting everything, but in everything what Maya has projected, Sachidananda Paramatma is present, right? And Sachidananda Paramatma remains as it is because it is Chaitanyam. You see, Sachidananda Paramatma remains as it is. All the games, what is played in the world, is done by Maya. Maya creates the names and forms and plays with the names and forms. Maya does that. But while Maya is doing that, Sachidananda Paramatma is observing everything. But Sachidananda Paramatma is present in everything. This is realization of what he is saying here, right? So, one's first thing is to get fed up with karma and in the results of the karma. No more desire, doesn't want anything from this world, right? And so when you hear all these things, you can see the practical side of life, how difficult it is, spiritual life. It's not so simple as we think, that I met a guru, I took initiation, and I'm doing my 16 rounds, and I'm going back to Godhead. It is not that simple as we think about it. Krishna is saying to us, when they say like that, it's only said to encourage people to take to spiritual life. It's only for that purpose. Like for example, chanting the holy name, right? He says, even if you chant the holy name once, without even thinking about Krishna, still you will go back and all. People will say like that sometimes about the holy name, isn't it? There are so many statements about the holy name like that. That is all arthavadam it is. It is just to encourage you to chant, somehow or the other. But properly to chant and to get liberated, that's another side, another story it is altogether. That's going to take a very, very, very long time. It's not going to happen. Right? So this is the point. What Krishna is saying here is that when the mind gets dissolved in the self, ultimately, and he realizes at that point that he is also that Satchidananda Paramatma, that is how you lose your bodily identity. It is at that point you lose your bodily identity. Up to that time, you are in the bodily identity. There is a long way. It's not a short journey. It's a long journey. It's going to take time, and there is so many obstacles in a subtle level to cross over. Gross things you can do, few things, but subtle things more difficult to overcome. So that is a jnana sadhana, right? And then he's saying here that till you get established there, you have to continue this process, no matter how much time it takes. It may be many, many, many years in life, right? But that's where anusandhanam comes, continuously following it, pursuing that, right? And when you identify with the Antaryami inside, only at that moment your bodily identity will go. Your bodily identity will go. You see, we are by fighting battles in two fronts. First front is bodily identity, right? To get out of bodily identity itself is a long, difficult process. Until we get identification with the Antaryami, this bodily identity will stay with us. So, look at the next words. Nirvinnasya virakthasya purushasyokta anuvyukta vedinam manasyajati dauralmyam chindidasyanu chindaya. He says, after this he says, other sadhana processes, what can help you in doing all these things? That is from now on, from verse 24 onwards, right? Up to now Krishna has said how it happens. He explained that, right? Starting from karma, all the way through the vasanas, how that has to go, and how the mind should be tamed. And finally, he mentioned also that how to use the spiritual knowledge of the Shastra in your reflection of the mind, in contemplation, and help the mind to become free from the grip of sense gratification and the vasanas. Whole process he has spoken. And then he is saying, what can help you in that? A few things, right? Other sadhana, what can help? 24. Yamadibir yogapahe anyuchikyaja vidyaya mama archo ubasana bhirva na anyar yogyam manas maret. Yamaniyama process, what he has spoken. Tattva vijaram, tattva jnanam. Otherwise, the bhakti process. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, all that, nine processes. And my worship, Krishna says, all these things, somehow or the other, make the mind to taste spiritual life, to take to spiritual life. And you should not do it with anything else, Krishna says. Only these nine processes and the shravanam, kirtanam processes, and yamaniyamam and tattva-vicharam. Yamaniyamam, tattva-vicharam, and the nine processes. Now if you ask me whether Mahavadhar is included in that I don't know. Mahavadhar is the tenth process probably after the nine. A lot of people are thinking that it is a process, is it not? Actually, it is not. To tell you the truth, it is not a process. It is our gratification, sense gratification it is, basically. Krishna is saying here clearly, you should not use any other process of your manufactured processes. But Krishna is saying, these nine processes, and through the yamaniyamam process, through tattva-jnana. This is the only process. All other process, if it is for our satisfaction. People will say, oh, we can use, we are dovetailing our science and cinemas and all that, or all that. No, it is not. It has its own problems if you do that. Yeah. Then, so, Yamadibir, Yamam, Nemam, Yoga Margam, Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, Jnana Sadhana, otherwise Bhakti Sadhana, nine processes, and through that Dhyanasandhanam. So, here what Krishna is discussing is Jnana Sadhana, mainly. Jnana Sadhana, right? For Jnana Sadhana to become successful, in order to make it successful, you are allowed to take other sadhana processes to help. You can use the bhakti sadhana for that, to help the jnana sadhana. These sadhanas are not independent totally. Even though it is spoken in this way, shravanam mananam nididhyasanam for jnanam, shravana kirtanam atmanivedanam for bhakti, it's not that you are not allowed to go to the other side. Whatever, if your vasana is like that for jnana sadhana, follow the jnana sadhana process. And to help a jnana sadhana, whatever bhakti sadhana helps, you can use that. In the other way also, reverse way, and the other way, you are following bhakti sadhana seriously, but to help your bhakti sadhana, if jnana sadhana helps you, you can use that as well. It is allowed both ways. Right? So, and that is what he is saying also, yamadibir yogavade anvikshikyaja vidyaya. So that is all based on jnana sadhana. And the next line is all based on bhakti sadhana. He says, mama archana upasana bhirva na anyer yogyam manasmarit. Mind should be given. Because both sadhanas are centered around the mind. Jnana sadhana or bhakti sadhana. He says, you can have both. Whatever that helps the mind to come out from the control of the world and the senses. That's all it is. This is all left to the individual to choose whatever the processes, right? So, and ideal, the goal is to get the mind free from the entanglement of sense gratification. So that the mind does not go back to the senses again and sense objects. So in order to support the mind, either through jnana sadhana or through bhakti sadhana or with both, one should try somehow or the other, withdraw the mind from sense objects, right? So, if through shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, through jnana sadhana, if you have become successful, then you are happy with that, continue with that, right? And if you are finding that with those three alone, you are finding it difficult to succeed, then you can take the help of other sadhana processes, the bhakti sadhana processes, right? Or through jnana sadhana, you can use the yoga sadhana as well. Yoga sadhana, right? And ultimately, this establishing the, bringing the mind free from all the influences of the sense objects. And then through nididhyasanam, the realization. So, for nididhyasanam purposes, yoga sadhana may help. Yoga sadhana, yama, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam and all that. Pranayamam can help for that. Dhyanam, all, right? So, when you are trying through that nididhyasanam process, mainly Krishna is discussing jnana sadhana here. But in jnana sadhana, when you progress, after mananam, when you come to nididhyasanam, you may require some help from yoga sadhana. That is in the form of dhyanam. And similarly, pranayamam. These things can help. Asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana. These things can help. Right? So, to able to sit in a particular asanam, pranayamam, and in that way, the mind, senses all controlled, and pratyaharam, to stay in that, able to bring the mind more under control, right? And dharana, what it does is, that mind has gone to the Antaryami, but giving the strength for the mind to stay there, not to come out from that. Yeah. So that's where dharana comes. And then once you are established there, able to stay there permanently, for that anusandhanam is nididhyasanam. So dharana, nididhyasanam are all more subtle level it is happening, right? If nididhyasanam happens in a person, then he does not require any help of any other sadhana processes, right? So, and that is what is called anvikshiki jnana sadhana. What is used there? You see there? Anvikshiki cha vidya. Anvikshiki vidya means this. Using the other sadhana processes to help you or support your jnana sadhana and becoming perfect in that way. Anvikshiki jnana sadhana. That means, if yoga sadhana is helping, you can use yoga sadhana. If bhakti sadhana is helping, you can use bhakti sadhana. Whichever it is. Jnanam, yogam, bhakti. All three. Right? So, by now, when he is doing all these things, he is advanced enough spiritually. It is said that in today's our case, life, this is all not going to happen. We know that. It's not going to happen. None of this is going to happen in our life now. We are just the kindergarten stage in bhakti or yoga margam, right? So at this stage all we can do, this will create some samskaram in us if we hear all these things. It will create some samskaram in us that will stay there, even though it may not happen now. And that samskaram will help in the next life at least to come back to spiritual life again. Because after hearing all these things, you will start thinking about it a little bit. You may not do anything, that we know. You're not going to do anything about it. It's not possible also, because we are all in our last stage in life. It's very difficult to do anything now. But if this is heard enough, it will remain as a vasana inside, and then vasana will support our next adventure in the next body, whatever that is, whatever happens, right? So what Krishna is saying is, jnana sadhana is there, yoga sadhana is there, bhakti sadhana is there. At different, if you are following jnana sadhana, at some stage you can use yoga sadhana, some stage you can use bhakti sadhana also to support your jnana sadhana. So, after that, Krishna says that established in that way, in the Antaryami, and self-realization will happen, and when that happens, bodily identity will go straight away, right? And at every stage in this, he says, if you are serious, Krishna says, that analpa vastu, you should not think about it any time. That means any interest in the world or any interest in everything that is not connected to self-realization, like the body, bodily extensions, bodily happiness, bodily enjoyment, things like that should never be thought about at this stage, at that stage, right? And so that is what he is saying here. Na anyer yogyam mana smaret, he said. Yamadibir yogabade anvikshikyacha vidheya mamarcha upasana bhirva. Na anyer yogyam mana smaret. That is important. Not to think about anything else what is not favorable for self-realization, which means all the worldly activities, worldly engagement. Because this is for a person who is in a very, doing sadhana in a very higher level. Right? Ekadasha skandham is basically for sadhana, people who are doing sadhana on a very higher level. Uttama sadhana they are called. And in their situation, they shouldn't get involved in the world or worldly matters, and that should not come into their mind either. So, we will have a break then. Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davabhi nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jeevanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamridasvadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangevtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti Strapidani, Smirnina Kalam,
ekavanmamabhi durdevami drashamiha janinanuraga tranarabhishuni jenam tadorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidam va jagadishakamahe mama janmani janmani shvari bhavadal bhaktirahe dogitvai Ainandananyoja kingaram padidamam shame bhavambudo kribaya tavapada pankajasthita duli sadrisham vichindayam nayanam galadashudharayam padanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulakair nijidam gadavabhu navannam grahane bhavishyadi yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Ashlishava padiridam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva yathadhadava vidadadvalam madu malpranathasuna evanapara sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda yamadhibir yogapathai anvikshikya chavidyaya Mamarcha Vasana Virva Nanir Yogyam Manasmaret. So Nanir Yogyam Manasmaret. Through Yamaniyamam or Tattu Vijaram or through the nine processes of Bhakti Sadhana, somehow or the other the mind has to come to the Andaryami, Paramatma Swarupam, right? And also say, na anya yogyam na manasmaret. You should not use any other processes. Krishna says so. Only these three. Tattvavijaram, yamanayamam, which is the ashtanga yogam, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam. These three processes. And so, while doing all these things, he says, Mamarcha Upasana Bhirva. Mamarcha Upasana Bhirva. Through these Upasana processes, it is possible that sometimes something can go wrong in the process. Yeah. Sinful things can happen. So, if anything sinful happens, should one do atonement for that? The answer is this, what he is going to say now, that Krishna is saying, even if some mistakes happen, there is no need for atonement here. Because one, when you are doing sadhana, right, by mistake, some sinful thing happened in the middle. that can happen in jnana sadhana, yoga sadhana or bhakti sadhana, whichever it may be, right? Because he is doing sadhana process, due to that sadhana anushtanam, due to that alone, his sinful reaction is nullified. It's, how do you say, it is cleared up. He does not have to perform any other. Now you have to remember, by this time he has gone very high in spiritual life. That's when these sadhanas are done at a stage way ahead after you come out of karma and karmavasana and all that. That means you are already in a pure spiritual path. So at this stage, if anything goes wrong in life and if something sinful happens, he doesn't have to do any atonement. And that is based on that verse, Devarshi Bhudapta Nurnam Pidurnam Na Kingaro Nayam Rnicha Rajan Sarvalpanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gado Mugundam Parihritya Kartam. That's the verse in the Bhagavatam. It talks about that the if you have reached that particular stage and during that sadhana process if something goes wrong, you are not liable for any sinful activity, your sinful punishment. You won't be punished for that because you have completely taken Krishna's shelter at that stage.
Because in order that this stage has to come, you have to have a full surrender to Krishna. Only then you can do this. Proper jnana sadhana, bhakti sadhana, yoga sadhana, you can only do that when you are totally surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise that sadhana is not perfect. This all has to be done in Sharanagati. Complete surrender to Krishna. Because at this stage, all what you want is Krishna, nothing else. You have reached that stage now. You don't want anything from this world, totally finished with this world. All you want is Krishna in life. That means purely for self-realization, you are operating on that stage. At that stage, if anything goes wrong in life, you are not liable to be punished for that. No sinful reaction will come from that. Guaranteeing, Krishna is saying here. Same thing what Krishna said in that verse, Devarshibhudhattanuranam pidranam. Yeah, it is at that stage, not at the early stages, when we have karma vasana, and we are entangled in the karma, and we have desires in the heart, and when we are doing some spiritual sadhana, that stage you are still liable. At that time you have to follow vidhinishedam, and you have to follow the gunadosham of everything. Only that way it will go. So this has to be understood. That is why he is saying here, Yadi kuryad pramadena yogi karma vigarhidam yoge naiva ahedamho nanya tatra kadachana. Then, yogi out of pramadam, because he has not realized the self yet. And suppose he has done something wrong, that sinful reaction is burned out by the practice of jnanam, jnanabhyasam, right? Karma vigarhidam yogeneva ahedamho na anyatatra kadachana. So, for example, nitya naimitya karma, daily karma what you do, and naimitya karma, special karma on occasions what you do, like shraddham, pitrakarmam and all that, they are all beneficial, right? And himsa, violence, leaving pain to others, they are all damaging to us, right? And for them, this prayaschitam, atonement is recommended. So, these are all in the Vedam. These things are spoken in the Vedam. So, if it is like that, without prayaschitam, how you will become free from your sinful reaction? And that is what Krishna is analyzing it here, in these verses, right? So, at the end of Bhagavata Dharma, when it was discussed, Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vasudev the same thing. The same issue comes up there in Niminava Yogi Samvada. Devarshi Bhudapta Narnam Vidranam Nagingaro Nayam Nijarajan Sarvalpanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. That is the important word there. Sarvalpanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. One who has taken complete shelter of Krishna, which means he wants only Krishna in life, nothing else. Krishna means Jnanamargam, you will say self-realization. Bhakti Margam, you will say you want to be Krishna, should accept you as a devotee, like he did with Uddhava, right? Only that stage, right? So, there he is saying, Karabhajana Maharshi says to Janaka these things. And it is from that these advices come, right? So, so when he asked about Yugadharmam in the Nimanava Yogi Samvadam, Karabhajana Maharshi mentioned this, right? What did he say? He says, a devotee does not have any obligations to anyone. Now, when we say a devotee, we must understand what type of devotee is talking about, right? One who has taken completely surrendered to Krishna. That is his qualification. Total surrender. He is not dependent on anyone in this world. Any individual, any organization, any other source, completely dependent on Krishna, right? For him, he does not have any obligations. He doesn't have any obligations, right? So, otherwise, Hrinatrayam is there. He has got obligations. And which means that Hrinatrayam, our deaths, demigods, deaths, doers, demigods, other living entities, forefathers, these are all rishis. All these are our obligations, isn't it? Devarshi Bhudartha Narnam Pitranam. These are all our debts. So, the debt towards rishis, we pay back by studying the shastram. They are not asking for money. Thank God. They say, you study the shastram what we have given you. That's how you repay your debt to us. Then for the demigods, you perform the yagam in that way. For pitradevadas, you perform the shraddha ceremony and things like that. And for other living entities, panchamahayatyam, the five different kinds of sacrifices what a householder should do. So this way you clear the debt through these processes, spoken in the Vedam, but for those who have not surrendered to Krishna. Once you have completely surrendered to Krishna, then these rules don't apply anymore. So, and it is only after paying all the debts one is allowed to take sannyasam. After that, right? Otherwise, you will fall down. The Shastram says so. If you without paying all these debts to the rishis, to the forefathers, to the living entities, and to all the other devarship udaptam ranam pitranam, all those debts, if you are not paid properly, you are not executed properly in householder life, and if you take sannyasam, the chances are you will fall down, right? So whereas but that is for ordinary people, right? But if at the early days in life itself, if one has completely taken Krishna shelter, if at the early days in life, and then performed Bhagavata Dharmam throughout life, he is not liable for that. So why? Because through his sadhana process, he has cleared all the debts, because he has performed sadhana for the whole life, right? So then devotee, when he is engaged in his sadhana, they are saying that the forefathers will dance seeing his spiritual commitment, spiritual life, right? And Pitradevadas, they will be satisfied, first forefathers will reach, they will become benefited by his, by the devotee's surrender to Krishna. They will get the benefit from that. They don't have any obligation. Therefore, they don't have to follow, perform any of the Pitradharma, Shraddha Dharmam, and all that things. Shraddha ceremony. There's so many things. And we are not liable for all of that, provided you have completely taken Krishna shelter, surrender to Krishna, right? We perform these things because we know that the previous generations, our forefathers, they may be in one ghostly body and not getting any future body properly due to something in their sinful life. So even they get they get clearance from their ghostly conditions. This life is a very interesting thing, isn't it? When you think about all what happens to the soul after it leaves the body. Because in the modern world, we don't take any importance to it. We think this life is everything. Everything is over with the death. And that's the approach most of the people in the world today. That they don't care what happens after death. They never think about it, right? But from Shastram, you have to understand that there is a lot to life than what we think about it. What we understand is a very small part of that, what we are seeing through our senses. And we think that this is all life is. That's our ignorance in us. But Shastram is giving us an indication that Rishis are saying to us, there is a lot to it, life, than what you think about it. Right? So Pitradevadas, if you don't perform Shraddham, Shraddham is not like the way it's done once a year now, many people do that. Just be done monthly basis. Three generations before, one has to perform the Shraddha ceremony. There are only rigid rules associated with that. And similarly, having children is one way of continuity of the family traditions. And for that, children are required. But if one has developed Krishna consciousness to that level and total surrender to Krishna, then he is not bound by any of these rules. That's what he's saying here. So all these deaths, demigods, forefathers, rishis, and the other living entities, Bhudam means all living entities, all of them can be paid back in our normal life for ordinary people, and that is what is referring to them only. It doesn't apply to a devotee who has taken total shelter of Krishna, right? So, and because devotee through this bhakti, jnanam, yoga process, he is going for self-realization and he is endeavoring to please Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, right? So, rishis are pleased with that because rishis feel their shastram has, somebody has utilized their shastram properly. When a devotee surrenders to Krishna, why rishis get pleased? Because they feel that what they have taught to the world has helped somebody to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Right? And in this process, by accident something happened, even that is cleared up through the sadhana. Bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana, right? It will be cleared up. Because there normally there is Chandrayanam Graha Vratam. So many things you can see mentioned about for the householder to do, right? It applies to all the sadhagas, right? But if you are successful, if you are successfully situated in your sadhana for self-realization, even through by your previous samskaram, if any sinful thing happens in your life, the reaction of that is wiped out through your sadhana process. Provided you have come to that stage, right? You don't have to do separate prayaschitta. Separate atonement is not required. That is what Krishna is saying here in that verse. Yeah. Yadi kuryat pramadena. Yogi karma vigarhitam. Yogi naiva dahiyad amho. Nanyatatra amho. Namho anyatatra kadachana. Then he is saying, sve sve adhikare. Ya nishta saguna parigirtida karmanam jata shuddhanam anena neyama kradaha guna dhosha vidhanena sanganam tyajanecheya. That depending on our qualifications, where we are at in spiritual life, in whatever level we are doing our sadhana, being steady in that is called a nishta. Nishta means that. Different people are doing sadhana at different levels, isn't it? Different people are doing sadhana at different levels. First class sadhagas, they have come out of karmam and they are totally surrendered to Krishna and all their sadhanas are for self-realization and also to develop bhakti. Bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana. That is a higher level of sadhana process. But there are other people who are doing the lower levels, who have not reached that stage yet, right? So, according to adhigaram, according to their eligibility, in other words, it is called, nishta is called gunam. And so, in order to break up this attachment to different things, shastram will say like this, this is good, this is bad. Gunam, dosham. That way it will be divided everything, right? And idea behind that is, one does not get engaged in inauspicious karma. Karma also causes problem. Because you are still in the level of karma. You are not able to come out of karma. So therefore what they have done, rishis have done, they have broken up karma into two groups. Karma that is favorable for allowed and karma that is not allowed. Allowed karma and not allowed. Right? So naturally the idea is to bring down the attraction for the karma that's not allowed. So the first impurity in a person is when he does karma with attachment. I want the result. In that way, if you do karma, that's the first impurity inside, because bhoktrutvam has come in there. Okay? And it is not possible to wipe it out straight away. Therefore, in order to bring that person out of that, they have spoken gunam dosham, good and bad. Karmam, they have decided, they divided like this, gunam dosham. So, rishis had a tight control over karmam, because they don't want us to go, let loose us freely, to go and do whatever we like, to make money and enjoy life. They want to take us out from that concept. And therefore what they have done, this guna dosham they created in that, right? So, certain karmam, by its very nature, is inauspicious. Inauspicious, right? There are many things, karmam like that. Basically centered around sinful things. Slaughterhouses. And similarly, alcohol businesses. Everything related to alcohol. Pubs, manufacturing breweries. All this industry is all sinful. Basically centered around them. There are many more. Similarly, gambling houses. All these stocks, shares, markets, all these are all sinful activities. We do not understand how subtle it gets in and makes us degrade in life. So keeping that all into account, based on these sinful activities centered around that, so many livelihood is happening in this world. Right? So because they were by jatya ashuddham, in other words, by its very nature itself, it is inauspicious, that karma, right? Centered around this, right? So, their shastram says, decided that they are going to create trouble for you, don't get involved in them. And Vedam, ultimately Vedam is also Nivritti Margam, not for Pravritti Margam, right? So, yogi also, when he engages in yoga, he has to take this into account, swadhigaram, right? And therefore, prayaschittam and all doesn't help there, it says. Let's understand that. So, this nitya karmam, naimittika karmam, what one does, right? What is spoken in the shastram is for the sake of purification of our own existence, what is called as sattva-shuddhi, right? Sattva-shuddhi means purification of one's existence, our mind, basically. Purification of the mind, right? Violence and activities like that, himsa, slaughter industry, right? Now, if you look at that, you can see how big that industry is. Just to understand it, it's not only killing distribution centers, all the supermarkets who are selling the products, people who are marketing them, people who are buying them, people who are using them. They're all implicated in that. The people who are selling the animals for slaughter, people who are doing the slaughtering, and then who are marketing the products, and then people are buying it, and then who are using it, who are cooking it, who are eating it. The whole chain is implicated in that. It's not. This is only about meat eating is concerned. In the same way, alcohol business, it's a whole business, it's not. Breweries, manufacturing them, distribution them, distributing them, pubs who are selling them, and the consumers who buy them. So if you look at it, the whole society is stuck in four sinful things. That's why Bhagavadam is saying that. Yeah. So if you take that understanding, you can see equally, everything, practically a major part of our activities is centered around these four sinful things. Major part of our existence in this world is centered around these sinful things. All this modern style of businesses is all sinful. Trading and selling is Vaishya's job. Krishi Varaksha Vanijyam. That's all Vaishya is allowed. But modern Vaishyas have broken all the barriers. They have gone completely out of control, right? They built up all these multinational corporations and their stocks and shares in the market and gambling with that. They have developed the stock market and things like that. The whole set of an empire they have built around that thing, gambling alone. That's all gambling, considered to be gambling. Gambling is not only betting on the horses or betting on a football match. Gambling includes all these things, all these activities, where out of, because you can see the greed building up in them, how they become greedy after a while. Once you get into that industry, it creates greed inside. And the greed keeps growing. And then it is uncontrolled. It goes out of control. And Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita that greed is one of the most formidable enemies to overcome, isn't it? Lest anger and greed. So that greed is, the source of that greed is this coming from that. Similarly, meat eating. So meat eating, alcohol, greed, and then of course the other industry with the women, prostitution and all that. There's a whole industry centered around that, entertainment industry, everything. So practically if you analyze those four things, you can see it is in the whole society at all levels. It's there. People are stuck in that. And to expect them to take to spiritual life is very difficult, because the vasanas they create from that karmam will drag them down, won't allow them to take to spiritual knowledge, to spiritual understanding, right? So all these activities are creating rajogunam, tamogunam in a person. That is the problem. All these activities, they create rajogunam and tamogunam, right? And therefore it shouldn't be done. But in this process, in this stage, when one has taken some interest in spiritual life, and at the same time, these sinful activities also happened in his life, because his occupation has become like that, one of them. And due to that, he has developed rajogunam, tamogunam inside. Then it will be very difficult to get rid of that rajogunam and tamogunam from him. And it is for that purpose all the prayaschitam is spoken. Atonement is spoken for that. For all the sinful activities one has done in life. Right? So, prayaschitam is called atonement. It's good. But if it is like that, how can a devotee through sadhana alone becomes free from sinful reactions? Right? And in answer to that, Krishna is saying these words. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta sa guna parigirtidaha. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta sa guna parigirtida. Right? According to one's adhigaram, that's what makes a difference, he said. According to his qualification, his steadiness in his life is called gunam. For example, if he is engaged in karmam, and that through karmam he has got tremendous asakti in that karmam, right? In order to bring it down, that karma asakti, right? Because you know it's not easy to get out of karmam. You can, whatever you may say at the end, karma vasana is inside strongly, it won't go, yeah? So, though the rishis have found out the best method to reduce this karma asakti, asakti for karma, and they decided that this is good, this is bad. That's how they brought this guna dosham into it, in karma. Yeah? Guna dosham, they brought karma into karma only for this reason, to say this is gunam, this is dosham, so that your asakti for karma comes down. Attachment for karma, right? So, by nature, karma is all impure, ashuddham, all by nature, right? And the attachment to karma, it is difficult to give up for everyone. Attachment to karma, it's very difficult to give up, unless Krishna gives some mercy and takes us out from that. Otherwise, everybody in this world is bound by karma, right? So, therefore, gradually how to bring a person out of karma. It is for that purpose, gunam dosham, in this way, good and bad, karma is divided for that reason, right? Under any circumstances, karma is not good for a person, right? And because Vedam is interested in self-realization. Vedam is not interested in locking you up in the cycle of birth and death. And Vedam knows very well, and Vedam is telling us also, that you are stuck in this because of karma only. You are not able to come out of it. So gradually, how to get a person out of karma? That's the secret, is this. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta saguna parigritida. Karmanam yati ashuddhanam anena neemakritam gunadosha vidhanena sanghanam tyaja ichaya. So, Vedam is interested. Interest in the Vedam is that for people who are doing sadhana, improve that sadhana. That is beneficial for them and not prayaschittam. That's what Vedam says. For people who are doing sadhana, for them, that sadhana itself is good. They do need to do prayaschittam because Vedam knows that if he is doing sadhana seriously, then his end goal, what is end result of that is self-realization. Because his goal is self-realization, because of that, he is doing sadhana, Vedam says he should be allowed to continue with that. But he should not be punished for the inauspicious things if anything happens. Yeah. So, the problem is, people don't get attracted to sadhana very easily. Most of the people don't get attracted to sadhana, right? Because our asakti is not for sadhana. Our asakti is for karma. You notice that, don't you? In life, most of the people's asakti, attachment, is for karma, not for sadhana. Yeah? You get all these people, because it's karma, 2,500 volunteers come. You tell the 2,500 to do sadhana, everybody will run away. Nobody will stay. That's how we are. That's where we are at. People say they are all doing devotional service and all, that's fine. But understand the science behind it. You can get thousands of people if you tell them, oh, you've got all this service to do, Prabhu, for you. And you do devotional service. Everybody will come for that. But if you tell all of them to do some sadhana, not one will stay there. Everybody will run away. That's a swabhav. That's our swabhav. Yeah? Karma vasana is strong, whereas sadhana vasana is very weak. That's the nature of the people, right? So, so therefore, what do you do? Karma vasana, karma does create problems. Karma will create more and more vasanas inside. So this karma, if it is done with samarpana buddhi and all that, then do some sadkarmam then. If karma has to be done, do some sadkarmam, right? And therefore, rajogunam tamogunam, such karmam, what creates rajogunam tamogunam is all considered to be inauspicious. All karma that creates rajogunam and tamogunam in a person is inauspicious, right? So, if you do such karma by chance, if it happens, then because it will create rajogunam and tamogunam, you take them from that and bring them to some karma which will do create sattugunam in them. And encourage them to do that with samarpana buddhi. With samarpana buddhi. And if that way, if sattugunam comes up in that person, he will become free from the effect of rajogunam and tamogunam, what he has developed through the karma. Through his karma. Right? So, so good karma will come when it is done through sattugunam. Right? Whatever karma that creates rajogunam and tamogunam, they create problem. And then rajogunam, tamogunam, karma, if it all gets exhausted, and for that purpose, in order to save him from the rajogunam and tamogunam, this prayaschitta karma is spoken. That is the idea behind this prayaschitta. Different prayaschitta spoken there, right? In reality, all karma belongs to three modes of nature, trigunam, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. So all karma will create vasana. It could be either satyam, rajasam or tamasam, the vasanas. Karmams are in the three modes, vasanas also will be in three modes in us, right? So the modes of nature itself is trouble. And triguna karma vasana will bind us. Whether it comes from sattugunam or rajogunam or tamogunam, it will bind us still, right? So any karma will create karma vasana, no matter whether they fall in any of the three modes. All these are very scientific things. Vedantam is very scientific. On the other hand, if you go into Bhagavad Gita and if you study the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about Krama Mukti there. Yeah? If you read that chapter, you won't understand it. What does this Krama Mukti mean? Because it is less clear than even Vedantam. Vedantam, to large extent, it is very logical and scientific, you can say. Scientific in the sense, not in the modern science I'm saying. Scientific in the sense, it will give you a very logical explanations of the process of self-realization, Vedantam. And the two processes, Krama Mukti and Sadhya Mukti, spoken in the Bhagavatam, comes in Bhagavad Gita also. 8th chapter is all Krama Mukti. 9th chapter is all Sadhya Mukti. Only thing you have to get deeply involved, absorbed in those two chapters. Then only you will understand the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. How Shukha Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit in the beginning, Bhagavatam. Sadhya Mukti, Krama Mukti, isn't it? And we start thinking Sadhya Mukti, Krama Mukti is only spoken in the Bhagavatam. No, it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna has spoken in his way, Shukha Brahmarshi spoke in his way. Shukha Brahmarshi was more forthright in saying to Parikshit about it. Whereas Krishna spoke only the science behind it. He didn't use the word Krama Mukti or Sadhya Mukti. He didn't use that. Now, out of these two processes, Krama Mukti and Sadhya Mukti, Sadhya Mukti is easier to understand, but it is impractical for most of the people. Sadhya Mukti, it's impossible, right? Whereas in Krama Mukti, majority of the people will fall into that. Krama Mukti only. And in Krama Mukti, then you have got these two processes, Devayanam and Pitriyanam also. So, who falls into which category? And what happens after you leave this world? Because these are the important topics, right? When you leave this body, what happens after that? That is a big subject. And Krishna has discussed a lot of that in that chapter. Which one? Krama Mukti chapter. And Krishna has connected there that whole thing with Ashtanga Yogam there to tell us that this is the situation. How, in reference to a yogi's case, how that happens, right? So, Bhagavad Gita is not that everything is exclusively spoken. This is bhakti, this is jnanam, this is yogam, this is karma. They are all connected to each other. So, Krishna says that even if it is Krama Mukti, and the way Krishna has explained that, even if you may not understand it fully because it is pretty hard, in the sense, Krishna says a lot of things about it, and then he's saying that, leave that to me, he says. You don't have to worry about it. It is me who have to decide who will join you in your journey towards the self, into Brahmalokam. Because that's Krama Mukti. You go to Brahmalokam, and when Brahma gets released, you also get released along with that. That is Krama Mukti, right? Sadhya Mukti is a lot easier. Easier in the sense to understand it is easier. Right now, here, you get liberated in this body, here itself. Jivan Mukta stage, Videha Kaivalyam, it's called. But that also, that's not easy, but the process is very clear, very much more clearer than the Krama Mukti. Easy to understand Sadhya Mukti, what Sadhya Mukti means. But Krama Mukti, even understanding is difficult. That's what I'm saying. Sadhya Mukti and Vedantam is a lot easier to understand. Krama Mukti is more difficult to understand. What happens to a jiva when he leaves the body, right? There's a lot of discussions. Krishna has spoken about that. We'll come to that when we discuss the 8th chapter. So, this sattvagunam, so these three modes of nature, which creates karma and which creates vasana. Obviously, karma means vasana. That means vasana will be under the three modes of nature. Satugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. Right? And they will all bind us, no matter which it is. Right? So, even if you have done karma, the results to Krishna, all that, it will create satugunam inside. Right? And it will create satugunam vasana inside. But, what is the benefit of satugunam then? Only benefit from that is, you will be little bit more enthusiastic to do sadhana. That's the benefit. Yeah. Otherwise, you won't get any motivation for sadhana. You will say, oh, I'll do it in the old age, when I get sick, or when I'm lying in the bed. That time I will chant Narayana, and Narayana will come to take me out. In this kind of calculations, rest of the whole lifetime you won't do any sadhana. You will make some excuse, one thing or the other. I've done this for Krishna, I've done that for Krishna. You won't do any sadhana. You'll carry on making excuses whole life. So, that is because satugunam is not there in the person. Right? If satugunam comes in, the benefit is that it will give you some impetus or some motivation. You don't need a motivation speaker then. The satugunam will motivate you from inside to do the sadhana. That's the way it works. Everything is very subtle. Inside it's happening. But talking doesn't help. It has to happen inside. So that is what he is saying here. So it will create satvaguna vasana, and that will benefit is that it will enthuse him to do sadhana. Right? That is a big thing in life, to get interested in doing sadhana. Many people find it very difficult to do sadhana, is it not? They struggle with sadhana. They say, and even if they do it, they'll curse and do it. They'll do the sadhana cursing the sadhana. Oh, I have to do it some or the other. My Guru Maharaj has told me to do this, so I'm doing it. I don't know where it's going. I spend every day 2-3 hours on this. I could have done something better. Thinking all this, he is doing the chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the stage. Most of the people are in that stage. We know that. It's not nothing new about it. Yeah. So to get properly enthused in sadhana, developed from satugunam only. So otherwise we are like the goods train, how it goes. It is getting dragged and dragged and dragged every day. So the advantage is that satugunam creates such a vasana inside that he is able to do it with samarpana buddhi, one thing. And therefore, such karma, what is done through satugunam, is compared to be satkarma. It considered as satkarma, right? So, in fact, in reality, any karma which has been created from vasanas, from the three modes of nature, is impurity. Make that also clear. Any karma that is created from the vasanas, which has come from the three modes of nature, even if it is sattvagunam, it is an impurity. Because impurity basically means trigunam, three modes of nature. Right? So, the impurity of the mind is this vasanas from trigunam karma, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. Right? Only thing is, sattvagunam has got this one benefit. It is a little bit favorable for one who is doing sadhana. That's the benefit of sattvagunam. Unlike rajogunam and tamogunam, it won't stop you from doing sadhana. Whereas rajogunam will create vikshepam, tamogunam will create avaranam, and you will completely give up sadhana. Whereas sattvagunam will at least allow you and encourage you to do sadhana. That's the benefit of sattvagunam. So, if you observe your own mind, you can see these things happening. How, when satugunam comes, you feel like chanting Hare Krishna and reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and hearing Bhagavad Gita, all these things happen, right? Whereas, if rajogunam and tamogunam is inside, it will stop you from doing it. It won't allow you to do it, right? So, therefore, sattvagunam is favorable for sadhana at least. At least it encourages you for sadhana, right? This asakti for karma, attachment for karma, you cannot wipe it out in one stroke. It's not possible. Because it's so deep-rooted inside. Isn't it? You know that, how deep-rooted inside. Some people, after retiring 70, 75 years, they want some engagement. Why? They have, after all, what do you need after 70, 75? A few chapatis and a place to lie down. What else do you need in life? No. They will go looking for some service somewhere. Something. They will look for some engagement, right? If you don't get the engagement, they feel that they are in trouble. Their mind will give them trouble. Their mind will give them trouble. So in order to please them, they are listening to the mind. Mind is telling them, you find some engagement in the supermarket or in the stock market, whatever it is, some engagement you do. And they will say like that openly to you, I have to keep myself occupied, isn't it? After retirement. Then why did you retire then? They say, I have to keep myself occupied doing something. Otherwise, they are fearful of their own mind. Mind is giving them trouble. What can you do? So, in order to keep the mind peaceful, they go and engage in karma again. This is how complex the whole thing is, right? So, it is not easy that karma vasana in a person, it will not go away easily, right? That propensity or that tendency to do karma. And it is in a person, rajodigaha, karma varaha. We have come with that vasana strongly inside, right? But rajogunam and tamogunam, such karma which creates those vasana, in one stroke shastram says dushkarmam. It is sinful. If any karma that is creating rajogunam tamogunam, in one stroke it is smashed off, right? Sattvagunam, because rajogunam and tamogunam, if you allow that to grow, it makes more difficult then to come to spiritual life, to spiritual knowledge, right? And if you allow that to grow, it will create more blocks in spiritual life, right? And that means you are more bound in the material world. Material existence will increase. Generation after generation, you will be busy with life here, one after the other, right? Whereas if sattvagunam has come, that is a benefit. At least it will give a tendency inside to for sadkarmam, to engage in sadhana processes, right? And also samarpana buddhi, you will understand what that means. Samarpana buddhi and propensity to do sadhana in the proper way, it will be a force, which one? Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam will be a force for that. Yeah, because when that happens, sattvagunam increases in a person, that is when antarmukhatvam comes. You see, antarmukhatvam means withdrawal from the world and realizing that antaryami is inside and there is a whole world inside, is it not? Subtle body and antaryami, self-realization, karma vasana, manas, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam, all these subtle things, you will start understanding those things. Only at that stage you will understand that. You can see devotees also, if you look at their life, because antarmukhatvam has not happened to them, they need karmam, they need engagement, therefore they have to build new projects all the time. Building temples, building ashrams, building eco-village, building this building. All this is the end result of that. They have not come to spiritual platform yet. All they are doing is fulfilling their karma vasana in some form or the other. Prabhupada also said that. He said, I have to build all these projects for my big, big men, he said. Because these big, big men, they have such strong karma vasana inside to tell them to go inwards, antarmukhatvam. They won't be able to do it. They cannot do it. So therefore, the only option left for them is to engage in many, 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 many projects in this world. You know, in this world, whatever projects you do, at the end, it will all collapse at the end. Nothing is going to stay here. It may stay for a day or a few years or a few months, and it will collapse. Everything will change after that. That's the world. Because Maya controls everything. Maya won't let you, any of your projects to stay here. So that is the thing. So because this antarmukhatvam has to happen, only after this sattvagunam has increased to a very higher level in a person. That's when antarmukhatvam comes, and that is when sadhana becomes serious, And that karma at that time is a satkarma. At that time, with that sadhana process, what happens? that is the reason why. So we must not get carried away by what goes on in the media and the Facebook. You should look through the Shastram, everything. When you see so many big things happening there in the wide world outside, you think they are all very advanced spiritually, and therefore, no, it is only because of their karma vasana inside, they are not able to resist and turn inwards. This Antaryami's presence inside, they are not able to come to that stage. Therefore, they have to, Antarmukhatvam is the benefit from that. Yeah, Antarmukhatvam. So, Sattvagunam, if it increases in a person, Antarmukhatvam comes to him. Till that Antarmukhatvam comes, you have no other choice except to do all the other things. Keep yourself occupied so that you don't go away from that. At least it is some karma which will give some Sattvagunam in a person. That's all it is. But if Sattvagunam has gone sufficiently inside, Antarmukhatvam will happen. Antarmukhatvam means Shastram will start working for you then. Shastram will have its impact on you then. Till then, Shastram is not impacting, you are impacted by your karma. Karma vasana inside. Vasana is driving you all the way, according to your vasana. Right? You will act in this world, up to that point. Right? So, all karma is damaging, but and particularly those karma which creates Rajogunam and Tamogunam is very damaging. Right? Therefore, Shastram says, divide that into Satkarma, Dushkarma. Dushkarma means Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Satkarma means Satogunam. So, when Satogunam grows in a person, he gets attracted to do sadhana, right? And gradually his attraction for karma goes away, and bring down the karma asakti for karma, and this spirituality in a person grows. That's when you say somebody is becoming spiritual. Adhyatma, right? Adhyatma means that spiritual nature comes in a person, right? So, that is the idea behind breaking up karma into satkarma and dushkarma. This is the idea behind it. That is what that verse is talking about. Krishna is saying that in one line. Sve sve adhigare. Ya nishta saguna parigrithida. What is this adhigaram? Adhigaram is this. Understanding through the three modes of nature, your karma and where you stand in spiritual life. And karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena nemakrida. He says, karma is ashuddhi. And that ashuddhi, how you come out of that? Ashuddhi means impurity, right? Inside us. Then impurity is inside. So how do you become gunadosha vidhanena sanganam tyajane chaya? It's a very famous verse, this one verse. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta saguna parigirtida karanam karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena neema kridaha gunadosha vidhanena sanganam tyajane chaya. This is all the science of sadhana. You see, all this is science of sadhana. That sadhana is not something what you do. Somebody has told you 16 rounds for regulative principle, this is a sadhana. And Guru asks you, what are the four regulative principles? And you tell him, these are the four. I'll follow it all my life. Here is the Devidasi, this is your name. And you think you have become spiritual like that? You don't become spiritual that way. This is all misunderstanding. You have not understood anything about spiritual life. See what Krishna is saying about sadhana. When does actual sadhana begins? When you understand these things, that there is trigunam, three modes of nature. And these three modes of nature is in us, all of us. It will force us to live our life based on the three modes of nature. And that even Brahma comes and tells us, we are not going to leave it. We will do what we want. According to our modes of nature, we will act on that basis. Right? That's the way it is. That's how powerful it is inside us. Yeah. So, because it is like that, because it is so difficult to overcome that karma vasana, what the rishis have done is that they thought about it and they realized that that karma that is done in sattvagunam is not damaging. At least it is giving the impetus for doing sadhana. So, make the person to do karma in such a way that it will develop sattvagunam in a person. Any karma that is created by rajogunam and tamogunam, they reject it totally. At least pull them out from that first. So that they don't engage in such karma which only creates rajogunam and tamogunam. And most of us have spent all our life in that rajogunam and tamogunam. So now you see where we stand in spiritual life. Because our whole life was centered around this rajogunam and tamogunam, and that's the karma we have done in our life, and the vasanas we have created, that vasana. That is why when we read all these things, it's all not making any sense to us. Whereas Vedantam is very good in explaining these things, right? It's not like any other process. Vedantam is very crystal clear. And they'll explain to you so nicely that once you understand that, you will see the danger where it's coming from, right? So, Vedantam is crystal clear. Sadhyomukti is also crystal clear. Kramamukti is not clear. Even if you study 8th chapter, you will find it, it's not getting anywhere. So therefore what Krishna said there was, at a certain stage Krishna says, leave that to me, because I don't want to explain it further to you anymore about it. That is a problem with the Kramamukti. We'll come to discuss when we discuss Bhagavad Gita. So here Krishna said, Sve Sve Adhigariya Nishta Saguna Parigirtidaha Karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena nema kradaha guna dosha vidhanena sanganam tyajane cheya. Right? So, having said that, you have brought this karma asakti, you have become free from that. Ultimately, the goal is to come out of all karma, whatever karma it is. Karma is not our friend. Karma is more like a who stands with us, but doesn't act like a friend, gives us vasana and then go. So, so if we have become spiritual by following these rules, right, that's the goal of all this division of karma into salkarmam, dushkarmam in that way. Yeah. So, once you have come to sadhana level, then become qualified for sadhana, then you don't have to worry about karma anymore. That means you become free from the grip of karma. You become free from the grip of karma, right? And then he does not have to worry about salkarma either. He doesn't have to, right? And all he has to do is to do the sadhana seriously. Jnana sadhana or bhakti sadhana or yoga sadhana, right? But, and nitya naimitya karma, daily duties, and naimitya karma, which is done on a monthly basis or yearly basis, even that he is not bound by that. Even there he is not bound. You see, nitya karma, he is not bound by that. That means he has transcended karma. He has gone beyond karma, right? So, so this spiritual getting established in spiritual life, Adhyatmika Pravanata, it is called, right? To get you established there is the purpose of Nitya Karmam and Naimitya Karmam. After that, Nitya Karmam, Naimitya Karmam also has no bearing on you. You have become free from the karma, field of karma altogether, right? So, once you have come to proper spirituality, that means you are in the spiritual state, then naturally you have become andarmukhatvam. Inward looking has come to you, right? And then if you only do the sadhana, that is sufficient. And through sadhana you are making the progress from then on. Through the sadhana, right? And at that stage, you are not controlled by karma anymore. You have become free from the field of karma. So you can see from that, Purva Karma Vasana, what we have done in the previous life, and that is in us inside. Then the Rajogunam and Tamogunam we are adding to it in this life also. And because of all that, because it's already there, you may go and do something which is not allowed. Right? And at such situation, what Krishna is saying here, you don't have to worry about prayaschittam, atonement. Right? Because you are moving towards that sadhana stage. You remember what I said, that in this life you have withdrawn from the karma. But previous lifetimes, karma vasanas are still there. And they can trigger sometimes your mind to go and do something wrong. And Krishna is saying here, if in this life, if you have become free from karma, in this life, and you have taken to the sadhana process, but due to the previous vasanas, if you have gone and done something wrong, you don't have to worry about it. Because this sadhana process will protect you. You have already become free from the karma from this life. But the vasanas from previous life may come and give you trouble. But for that, you don't have to perform any atonement, prashita. You don't have to do. Why? Because you are doing sadhana now in having become free from karma in this life. That's the point he is stressing here, right? This is the essence of that. Yeah. Karmam, we know very well what the problem is. Karmam gives these three vasana, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. Right? And due to that, what happens? These two things comes to us. Kartrutva, bhoktrutva. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Will come from that. Right? So, even if you are doing a sadkarma, right? Even if you are doing a sadkarma, if you do with this knowledge, thinking that I am doing it, I should have the results for that, that means it's kartrutva bhoktrutvam. If you do that, still, it will create problem. Because you have done it with this thing. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That ahankaram will become strong inside. You see, even if it is a sal karmam, good karmam, you do, but if you have done it with this thinking that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that will still boost your ahankaram inside in sattugunam. Sattvika ahankaram will increase, right? And that is a bad aspect of karma. Bad aspect of karma. So, this is complex, this is, because on the one side you are doing it with samarpana buddhi. You are doing it with samarpana buddhi, right? And kartrutva bhoktrutvam you are giving up at that time. And in order to please Krishna, it is done only for Krishna's pleasure. And if you do like that, what will happen is sattvagunam will increase in you. Sattvagunam will increase, right? And due to that sattvagunam, you will become more interested in spiritual life. Spirituality will increase in a person, right? And therefore, that karmam, anything that is creating sattvagunam in a person, it is still accepted, even though it is a karma. Because it is in sattugunam, it is done. That karma is still beneficial for that person, and and it should be followed, because ultimately the idea is to make a person spiritually minded. Yeah? Most of the people are not spiritually minded in this world, is it not? Most of us are very materialistic. We are concerned about our body, bodily comforts, and somehow survival in the world. To that we add a little bit of spiritual life to give a, what you call, a taster session. A spiritual life also. We add into it a little bit. Otherwise we are all materialists, very much so. Based on the body, absorbed in the body, and we don't even believe we are not this body. That's how we are now. We don't even accept that we are not this body. We say that, yes, theoretically we understand we are not the body, but right now I got this body, I have to look after my body. That's the way we live in this world, right? So what that shows is that the practice, we are not come to that spiritual stage yet. Spirituality means what? You don't identify with your body. In other words, you're not concerned about protecting the body so much. Body will go its own way, realizing that inside, right? So all bodily happiness you have given up. All mental happiness you have given up because you realize that that's not your identity. Why should I waste all my life for pleasing this body and the mind? So long as one has not reached that state, he is still trying to be on the bodily platform. So to develop spirituality in a person takes time. To develop spirituality, right? So therefore, rishis have given this various method, and they know very well that this karma is the main obstacle, which is binding them to the world, binding them to all sorts of things, right? So therefore, they are saying that only if spiritual thoughts comes in a person, he will be ready for doing sadhana. Otherwise, he won't do sadhana, right? So, by nature itself, by our very nature itself, our tendency is for karma, not for spiritual life. Our very nature is like that. Tendency for karma, not for spiritual life. You can see that in people. If the two are given a choice, they will choose the karma rather than the spiritual side, right? So, so which means that bahirmugatvam. That means you are still very much on the in the world outside. Your attention is in the world outside. It has not gone inwards, right? So, and therefore antarmukhatvam to come, that is at a much later stage, inward looking nature. That means people with very deep understanding of spiritual life, they are very inward looking, very grave in their thinking, and they can see things in a much subtle level, what we don't see in the bahirmukhatvam. You remember? Vedavyasa Maharshi, when all the rishis are antarmukhatvam, they have, that's their quality. Inward looking nature, Dhaumya, Vedavyas, all the great personalities, rishis. Why are they respected today and why do we study their teachings? Because what comes from them is come from inside, not based on their ragadvesham they are talking about, right? You can see that in the first canto, when Vedavyas wrote Mahabharatam, after that he felt disturbed. He said, nobody is following it, he says. I have written these 125,000 verses for the world. People are not interested. He himself gets frustrated seeing people's condition. Nobody understands, reads it, and nobody wants to understand it. And so many verses in the Mahabharatam, he talks about us, people like us, right? Who will hear everything and then they will go and do what they want. That kind of nature. And he feels very, you know how he feels depressed about it. So then he is saying that what have I not done to make, how do I bring them into spiritual path? And then he thought about it and he said that in Mahabharatam maybe I have not spoken about Krishna's transcendental pastimes enough and Krishna's teachings, personality, we didn't introduce Krishna properly in the Mahabharatam. So he was thinking about it and he understood the conclusion, because he is antarmukhatvam. That antarmukhatvam in Vedavyas. He got the answer because of thinking about it. He was able to come to this conclusion. That because I didn't glorify Krishna enough in Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam, Krishna is a historic personality. In Bhagavatam, he is supreme personality of Godhead. So that's the difference in between Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, he is accepted as the absolute truth. In Mahabharatam, he is a historic personality. He is not present. There it is, basically, if you look at Mahabharatam, it is Bhishma who comes out mostly, in everywhere. Bhishma is glorified, Bhishma is teaching a lot. 2-3 parvams, Bhishma is speaking. Bhishmopadesham and to Yudhishthira, which is a big part of Mahabharatam, right? Hundreds of chapters he is talking about that, different types of dharma. And whereas Krishna's role in Mahabharatam is different, and Bhishma is not even spoken as a devotee there in Mahabharatam. He is more presented as a historic personality there. great personality in the among the Kauravas, right? So what I'm saying is that when it came to Bhagavadam, Vedavyasa's thought through this, maybe that I didn't do enough to change the people's way of thinking. And then he was thinking, should I write about Krishna? What should I write? And this all come from Antarmukhatvam, that capacity to analyze issues like this and able to find a solution. That is only because Vedavyasa is Antarmukham, inward-looking nature, right? And then Sri Narada Maharshi comes and confirmed what Vedavyasa is thinking is correct. That is how he wrote Bhagavadam. Is it not? In the first canto. He wrote Bhagavadam after he already knew what has gone wrong. He realized that if I speak dharmam to these people, it will not work because they are not interested in dharmam. People are not interested in dharmam either. So talking to them about dharmam, it's not going to work. So main reason he felt that maybe I should speak about Krishna to them more. Through Krishna's life, Krishna's teachings, I should get them interested in this spiritual life and that way bring them into dharma. This was the idea behind it. And therefore, through Krishna the personality, Krishna's life, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's pastimes, Vedavyasa Maharshi succeeded in bringing us interested in spiritual life, and then Vedavyasa is telling us what is dharma then. Because otherwise you won't accept dharma. You won't even understand dharma, what dharma means. So this is the way it happened. This all happened because Vedavyasa is antarmukhatvam, inward-looking nature in him. Then Narada Maharshi comes and tells him that you didn't glorify Krishna sufficiently. Indirectly he is telling Vedavyasa that through Krishna you should bring them in into spiritual life properly so that they understand what spiritual life is. Because it's not easy to convince people that they are not the body. They will listen to all of things, but then they will do what they want, like we all do. We will listen to everything, but then we will do what we like. Is it not? It's not making any change in our life. So that's what he's saying here. That so sattvagunam, if it goes inside, and even karmam, what is done in sattvagunam, if it is done with samarpana buddhi, only then it will benefit. It is satya karmam. Sattvagunam is satya karmam. But if it is done with samarpana buddhi, it will benefit, right? Whereas if you done with kartrutva bhoktrutva, then it will be bondage. Even if it is in sattvagunam, it will bind you. You see how subtle that is? It is subtle, isn't it? That you are doing a karmam in sattvagunam. But if it is done with, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer in that, which is done most of the time, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If a karmam is done like that, in sattvagunam, it is binding. You acquire punyam from that. That means you have to come back again to enjoy the results of the punyam. Whereas if it is done in sattvagunam with samarpana buddhi, in that case, that sattvagunam will increase in a person and it will not create this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And therefore, only with samarpana buddhi, karmam should be done, salkarmam in sattvagunam. Only then it will free you from karmam. That's the principle. Rajogunam, tamogunam, karmam, one should completely give up because that's going to bind you more and more. But satkarma, though all these other karma what we talk about is all satkarma. Ishtapurtham it is called. So many things, right? So ishtapurtham, building hospitals, building educational institutions, or building temples, all of them belong to that category. Building temples. All of them belong to that category. All these things is in sattvagunam. But if it is not done in samarpana buddhi, it will bind you again. You will get some punyam from that. That means you will have to accept another body again to enjoy the results of that karma. Right? So, so even laugika karma has to be done without this kartrutva bhoktrutva, with samarpana buddhi. Yeah? So, so Laugika karma, for example. Laugika means all the material karma, what you do. If it is done with samarpana buddhi, then you will come out of rajogunam then. Sattugunam will increase in a person, provided you do it with samarpana buddhi. Samarpana buddhi is the most important thing. Sharanagati and samarpana buddhi. That is Bhagavata dharma, is it not? So this is all the science behind the karma. Without knowing all these things, simply charging yourself and doing karma, thinking that, I'll do this, I'll do that, that's not going to solve the problem. You are not understood the science behind it. The science is there, the whole science, right? So, any karma with samarpana buddhi, and if you do that karma, which is not forbidden, nishiddham, nishiddham means forbidden, right? If it is done like that, and avoiding this kartrutva, bhoktrutva, and the doer, and the enjoyer, that will create sattvagunam in a person, right? And if that sattvagunam builds up in a person, he will become free from karma and he'll become spiritual then. That person will develop spirituality in him. Spirituality means what? Realizing that I have nothing to do with this body or the mind or the intelligence. This is not me. The real me is the Antaryami inside, the soul. I am that. That conviction comes to him. That is spirituality. And you will live on that understanding. You will act on that level, right? So at that stage, even at that stage, due to even at that stage, you have still the vasanas from rajogunam, tamogunam from previous lives. It could be there still, even in this condition, right? So, due to those vasanas, if you have by mistake done something wrong, Krishna is saying that he doesn't have to worry about it. His sadhana will take care of that. He doesn't have to perform any atonement. There are various stories about this. To understand this in people's life, what happened? People who are advanced spiritually, but they've gone and done something wrong. Accidentally, it happened in their life. And in such situations, Krishna says that he is not bound by that rules, by those rules, right? So, so because he has transcended karma in this life, he is doing sadhana. Therefore, sadhana has the control over him, not the karma, right? And so that's the important thing, right? So that verse is very important. Svesve adhigare nishta sa guna parigirtida karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena niyamakrita guna dosha vidhanena sanganam tyajanichaya. Sanganam tyajanichaya. And Vedam is not interested in your karma. Vedam is not interested, right? Vedam wants you to get out of karma. That's what Vedam is for. That's called Nivrti, Nivrti Margam, not Pravrti Margam. Pravrti is karma, right? And this will be spoken in the next chapter, in the 21st chapter. It will come back. This topic will come, right? So therefore, Krishna is saying that the important principle is this. He said, Sharanagati and Samarpana Buddhi, two things, right? And if karma is vasana there, still if you do karma, at least it will help you to develop sattvagunam in a person. If sattvagunam builds up, you will get the inspiration to do sadhana. And if you do in that level sadhana, even if some problems comes due to your rajasic, tamasic vasana from previous life, you don't have to perform any atonement for that. That's all what he said here. In that situation, if anything happens to him, all he has to do is to strengthen his sadhana. not perform any atonement. Prashchitam. He doesn't have to do. But strengthen your sadhana. Right? And means you should do your sadhana with much more intensity. You should do that. Right? And that way, those rajogunam, tamogunam, vasana which has come from previous life will be wiped out through the sadhana. Right? So, all karmam increases trigunam in us. Triguna vasana. Even if it is sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. All of them will increase our vasanas inside. Right? Similarly, salkarmam also. So if you have done salkarmam, good karmam, with the desire for results, bhoktratvam, and with the feeling that I am doing it, kartratvam, if it is done like that, you are supposed to reap the results of that. You have to take the results also. Because you have done it with, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Yeah? So, that will come in happiness in life. It could be in this life, or in the life after death, you will go, right? So, so that is the result, is that paraloka sukham. You may go to heavenly planets, you will enjoy a lot and you will come back again here. That's all it is, right? So, forbidden things, karma that you are not allowed to do. And if you have done that with I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, what happens then? That's another side to look at, right? You are bound to suffer that in this life and in the life after death. So this is how decisions are made. Decisions are made like this, right? So, so this kartrutva bhoktrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that is the cause behind making you receiving the results. The results are based on that. How far your I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is strong in you, depending on that. You are qualified to receive the results, right? But one who is doing sadhana, he is not, in his level, when he is doing sadhana, he is not expecting any results. You see the difference? One who is doing karma in this world, based on your absorption in that, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, you will be bound by the results. The results will come and it will bind you. If you are doing the sadhana at that stage, because you are not engaged in the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, because sadhana is in that level, it has to happen. Not like the way we do sadhana, I have done my rounds. There itself shows that you are fully thinking that you are doing the sadhana. Similarly, you are expecting the results from the sadhana. All these things, right? So, those subtle things have not left us. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is still there. Therefore, but proper sadhana when you are doing it, you are not bound by the results of that. Because sadhana is not, he does not have any adhigaram for karma. He is not a karma adhigari. That is what he is saying. Sway, sway, adhigaram. This adhigaram is a very powerful word to judge a person where he stands in spiritual life. To judge a person where he stands in spiritual life. That's how this adhigaram comes necessary. Sway, sway, adhigare, ya nishtha, sa guna parigirtigaha, karmanam jati ashuddhanam anena neemakridam, guna dosha vidhanena sanghanam tyajani cheya. So, all karma is trouble at the end, right? Because it only increases our connection with the world more. And so for samarpana buddhi, if you do satkarma, it is helpful. It will create sattvagunam if you do it. And sattvagunam will give you the impetus for sadhana. And also you will become more inward looking. Andarmukhatvam will come. And what it does is this kartrutva bhoktrutva buddhi goes away, and samsara bandham, this connection with the material existence, is loosened up, right? And finally, he is released from this powerful force called karma.
he becomes totally free from that, right? That means after sattvagunam, and he became more spiritual. And when you do like that, when you becoming spiritual like that, that is called chitta shuddhi. It is called chitta shuddhi. It's another word for that. So you can look at your own consciousness and see where you stand from that. Yeah. So any sadhana, so you can see now, sadhana under three modes, right? There are three modes of nature. Then the karmam is under three modes. Then the karma vasana comes under three modes. And out of that karma vasana, only that vasana which has come from sattvic activities, sattvagunam, and if it is done without attachment to results or without the ownership, I am the doer, that will make that person to turn towards spiritual life. He'll make more stronger in spirituality. Means he'll become more interested in the spiritual side of life rather than the material side of life. Otherwise, we'll always be concerned about our material existence in this world. Material life, material happiness, friends, family, job, money, and name and fame, followers, all other things will control you in this life. You are not free from that. Only at this level, when you do sadhana, at that stage, that sadhana will make you strong spiritually and you become a spiritual person more than a materialistic person. Up to that, you are a materialistic person. You become a spiritual person and chitta shuddhi comes to you at that time and you have become proper, what Krishna calls as proper sadhana at that stage. And then he has become free from the karmam. And by chance, any nishiddha karmam, forbidden things happens at that stage. Krishna says all he has to do is strengthen your sadhana a bit more, further, because he is not bound by karmam anymore. He doesn't have to perform any prayaschitta, atonement, right? And that is how Krishna concluded that. Now, all this was spoken about jnani, one who is following the jnana margam. That is, he began with that from the verse 18 onwards, right up to this 26. 18 to 26 is all about a jnani who is following the process. After saying that, one who is in bhakti process, what will happen to him is the next 9 verses he's talking about. From now on, from the next verse onwards. So that we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.